job. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello. Shalom. Buongiorno. Howdy. Namaste. Or buenos dias.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
No one gives a poop about Shaka. No one gives a about it at all. No one wants to hear any more about Shaka, because it's stupid to kick around that little child's ball. Hey, no one gives a about. No one gives a about. No one wants to hear about Shaka, because it blows. Not a sport.
There you see those tears. Look at them. Teardrops the size of pineapple chunks.
And now.
Last time I checked, this was what country?
United States of America.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it is. That's true.
USA, USA.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach Show. It is Wednesday, the 6th of August.
What's going on, you guys? How's it going?
It's going good.
You know, going well.
How's it working with Chip, by the way, filling in for Beer Mug this week? Because I'm just curious, do you have to be careful not to step on her when you head up to the controls, Kevin?
I haven't seen her in the studio. Has she been?
No, she's right there. She's actually running the board. She's actually pushing buttons.
No, way down there. Over in the corner, see?
I just see her. I'd be terrified that you would crush her somehow with your foot, you know, as you head toward the controls or something like that. You could step on her.
You know what I do with Boner is I put a bell around his neck. Because it's very easy to step on him. I think maybe I should bring an extra bell in and we should put it on
bell.
Chip.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, just so you don't.
We know she's coming whenever she is.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Good idea.
Okay. I like
just
it.
You got to take extra precautions when you've got a tiny one. You know, when you got a baby on board, you just got to be extra careful. That's all. So, well, it is Wednesday morning. We do have an outstanding show. I want to get us started with a story. It's the viral sensation of the week. This little 5-year-old Noah Ritter. I'm sure you've seen the video by now, Kevin. He has just taken the world by storm. I have some concerns about giving him all sorts of accolades, and he appeared on Good Morning America yesterday because he is a ginger.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's rough.
And you know how we feel about little redheaded kids.
Ginger kids. Children with red hair, light skin, and freckles. They creep us out and make us feel sick to our stomachs. Ginger kids are born with a disease which causes very light skin, red hair, and freckles. This disease is called gingivitis. And it occurs because ginger kids have no souls.
Now, that's just science. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right, that's science.
So little Noah Ritter is 5 years old. He's at the fair in Pennsylvania, the Wayne County Fair. He's there with his grandfather, and he gets approached by a member of the media who's doing news for Channel 16. And she wants to talk to him about being on the rides and how much fun the fair is. And this kid is as much a natural on television as anyone you've ever seen. Like, he'll have his own talk show. He's a Jimmy Kimmel in training. One day we're going to see him on TV.
He'll have it in a year.
I think he might. Now, I will tell you, because there is one word that he pronounces kind of weird that he also loves, and it's the word apparently, that he uses about 15 times in the course of his interview.
Good.
But here's a little bit of Noah.
Hold on a second. What did you think about the ride?
It was great. And apparently, I've never been on live television before, but...
By the way, I love that that's something that was even in his mind. Is he's 5 years old and he starts out with, the ride was great. You know, I've never been on live TV before. He's like riffing at this point.
But also, he's five. He hasn't had that much time to be on TV.
Right,
well,
exactly.
That's a good point.
It's not much of a surprise to us that this is your debut.
Never been on there before.
Apparently, sometimes I don't watch this. I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Okay, now, what little kid is aware that he's five so he doesn't watch the news? Don't most 5-year-olds just kind of block out the news? It's not something they think about or know about or care about?
They don't think about it one way or the other.
Right, but he's aware of it.
Doesn't exist. That's funny.
So Grandpa gives him the remote after he sees the Powerball, and that's the only TV he sees because he doesn't watch the news. Why? Because he's a kid.
Sure.
It's the Powerball.
Tell me about the ride. What did you think about the ride?
Well, it was great.
Why?
Because apparently you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy.
I love that kid.
And by the way, Kevin, you and I have done hundreds of interviews over the years. The number one thing you don't do is let the person you're interviewing grab the microphone and walk away with it. This kid has had the mic almost the whole time. He's holding the mic and just walking around, just doing his thing.
He's magic.
Yeah, he is magic.
Yeah. The slowest do is get dizzy.
Is it fun?
Yeah. And I've never, ever been on live television. I never, ever be on live television.
Are you excited?
Yeah, and apparently I already went down the super slide. When I went down the lawn, I was scared half to death. I just freak out.
Okay, okay. I need his name.
So there's little Noah wow. Ritter right there. Who is, like I said, he's becoming a sensation. We have not heard the last of that young man.
I hope not. Because he's awesome.
If I was an interviewer, I would have just said, keep talking. I would have asked follow-up question after follow-up question. Because that little kid is gold.
He's magic.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Good boy. What a good boy.
We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Will Arnett from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Love
awesome.
Him.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, by the way. That is just a giant black hole in my pop culture knowledge. And I know that Beer Mug is very offended by hearing me say that because he worships them. But I've never seen a second of any of their TV shows or movies. I don't know anything about them.
Dude, they're heroes on the half shell.
I've heard they're heroes on the half shell.
Well,
I have heard
on.
That at least.
Yeah. Get with it. Open up a blog.
I'll do that.
Tickets for Expendable 3.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to that. Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Ah,
love her.
Great.
Love her. Emo Chloe,
right. And I believe that's it. Oh, they're making Star Trek porn. So we got that to talk about today as well.
Of course they are.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz B deck. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin DeBicho. It is 5:53.
I worry that we're losing Kevin, by the way.
Why?
Well, you know, we had the Taco Bell story yesterday that you told us about.
Right.
And then also yesterday, you know, we record these little announcements for the next day's show at the end of every show. Like yesterday was Tuesday, so we record a couple things that we need on the air first thing Wednesday morning, right?
Right.
So we got to record that yesterday, and here's what Kevin lays down for us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday morning.
I know, Beer Mug's excited. Lots of people love
it. Okay, we don't need the rest of it, Chip. So
I said that yesterday?
That was yesterday on a Tuesday. Now, You're gone.
It's been a quick week.
Right. You're gone. We can't, at this point, feel bad. You know, Grandpa's Alzheimer's, nothing we can do about that.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is that Chip was standing next to you. I'm in the room. We don't notice it anymore. Like, we're oblivious to it. We don't even hear it anymore. That's my biggest concern because you need a guide dog. You need somebody to hold you as we try to get you across the street safely at this point. And I feel like we're failing you.
You are failing. I mean, if I said that yesterday...
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's Friday and no one bats an eye. What? That's on you.
We're not doing you any favors at this point, are we?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Friday morning.
Yeah. Friday.
I should have caught that. I feel like that's on me.
No, Bean, look. Don't be so hard on yourself. If someone beats you every day with a ball-peen hammer... And they keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. Eventually, that part of you is going to get numb.
Well, I fear that that's what's happening.
Well, thank God all the listeners are catching that stuff and then you know, tweeting
somebody's got to.
Emailing me or whatever. So that's great.
All right. So let's all eyes on Kevin today, you guys. Come on. Let's help
let's
our little
not
buddy
do that.
Out.
Eyes on.
Eyes on. All exactly. Right. All right. Ralph is here now. He's going to save the show here at 5:55 with another look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning.
Easy. I'm only human, okay? Don't put that kind of pressure on my shoulders. Hey, this is why people in show business get frustrated. Because even the people who are supposed to be on your side aren't on your side a lot of times. Great article in the Guardian newspaper out of the UK. Interviewing Christina Hendricks, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Of course, plays Joan on Mad Men. She auditioned for that role. Was picked. Selected. Right. Hard to get a job in Hollywood, period. So when you get offered a role, it's a very exciting time for an actor. Her agent said, you can't take that role. We're not going to let you take that role. And she said, why? And they said, well, it's basic cable. It's a period piece. It's never going to make any money. you have to go and try to get a commercial or do something else. This is a horrible job.
Something people might see.
So she fired her agent after getting the role of Joan and then moved on, of course, not only having been Emmy-nominated 5 times in 7 seasons, but also making a ton of money on Mad Men. So she had to fire her agency after she accepted the role. She knew in her gut that it was the right role for her, but they insisted that she pass on the offer to play Joan.
I don't know who the person was that gets the credit for the quote, but somebody said that experts don't know anything. And
it's
that's
the,
true in this case.
Quote of screenwriter William Goldman, who wrote a book called Adventures in Screenwriting.
What the hell just happened?
We're talking about that quote.
You know that quote from
it's
which?
Famous. Famous.
It's a famous quote.
Famous quote. Huh. And he said, here's the only rule about show business. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
And everything else is up for grabs.
Yep.
But
and that's been proven time and time again.
It sure has. Olivia Wilde getting a lot of attention for her newest Glamour magazine fashion spread. Everyone's up in arms.
Why?
Because she's a new mom. And in one picture, she's got her Prada dress draped down, baring her shoulder, and she is breastfeeding her son, Otis.
And
everybody's spun
don't
out.
Don't want her kid to eat?
I guess not. Certainly don't want to see a picture of it. They're like, oh, it's inappropriate, and what is she doing? You know what? If her boobs were just out, everybody would be like,
right.
Bravo!
She's that's the best.
Right. She's a stunning, confident woman who shows her breasts. But because she's feeding her child, everybody's like, ew!
Yeah, that's weird.
So it's a big controversy, and not for Olivia, of course. She says breastfeeding's the most natural thing.
Literally the most natural thing in the world.
It truly is. So I don't know. Now it feels like Otis should always be on my breast. I felt like we were capturing that multifaceted woman we've been discussing, the one we feel we all can be, someone who's at once maternal, then also professional, sexy, and self-possessed. That was the point of the picture. And some people may have missed the point.
It is fascinating, Ralph, what you point out, that people are far more ready to accept the breast in sexual terms rather than in the terms of which it was invented for.
Yes. And that guy who invented those breasts, by the way, I think he did good work.
Jesus.
I just hope he got the patent. And I'm excited for this project. Ricky Gervais has announced he is doing a feature film written around his character David Brent from The Office.
Oh, sweet.
It will be obviously a spinoff of his TV series, The Office. For those who don't know, The Office wasn't always Steve Carell and the gang at Dunder Mifflin. Originally, it was a British TV series, wildly popular, that caused the American version and all the success that came after. But if you've never seen the original British version of The Office, you owe it to yourself to check it out on DVD or stream it, because it's a great performance by Ricky Gervais as David Brent, the head of The Office. And now we're going to see a feature film all about what he's been up to for the past 15 years since he left the company.
Awesome.
He's been teasing this for a while, putting out little short bits on the internet and stuff. David Brent teaches you guitar and things like that, and his music lessons, and apparently it's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff. So, looking forward to that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Marissa Miller, model, actress, 36 years old today. Actress Melissa George, love her, 38 years old.
Duck face.
Not a duck face at
she
all.
She does. She's totally got a duck face.
If anything, she has a bunny face. If anything. If she's any animal, she's a bunny. She's not a duck.
I can see bunny.
Bunny's
I can see that,
fine,
too.
But she does have a bunny face.
But so, bunnies are cute. Right. Ducks are not cute.
So we're going with bunny.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Long as we agree. Good.
Old McDonald and his farm has no idea what a duck looks like, apparently, because it's just way off base.
She does that scrunchy thing with her lips, though. Come on.
But she's got a cute little nose and little...
She does have
an overbite. It's a bunny.
She's a hybrid to me. She's
not
duck,
a hybrid.
Duck lips, bunny nose is what she is to me.
Vera Farmiga from, of course, Bates Motel. She's 41 years old today. Singer Jerry Halliwell from the Spice Girls.
Wow.
42. And the sexiest of them all, M. Night Shyamalan, celebrates his 44th birthday today. Twist! He's actually 45! Ah! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Will Arnett on the program today. Also, comedian and actress Marilyn Rice will be here, and Adam Carolla as well. Plus, your Expendables 3 tickets later on this hour. Let's talk about James Taylor for a second, shall we?
James Taylor?
The old singer?
No. Oh. Curiously, this is a young man who just turned 21 this past Monday. He decided to throw a rager party at his home in Western Michigan. it was a kind of a combination party of him turning 21, his best friend turning 21, and he was moving to California. So he decided he was going to go for it. So on Saturday, he puts up a notice on Facebook and says, "Hey, I'm having a big party. Everyone's invited. Spread the word." In a million years, you guys, would you ever do that?
No.
No. But
because you know what can happen.
Does he own the house or his parents?
It is his parents' house. Ooh. His parents don't seem to have been anywhere around. This is a family home that has been in their family for over 100 years, by the way. But it's a tiny little house. If you saw the video on the news, Kevin, it looks to me like it can't be more than about, 700-800 square feet.
Ooh.
But with a lot of land. So, you know, outdoor party in the summertime, maybe it sounds like a good time. Well, I don't know what he was expecting, but over 2,000 people showed up. And obviously, when you put it up there on the internet and say spread the word, you know, everybody starts sending it to their friends and posting it on their Facebook pages. And, you know, obviously lots of people you don't know are going to be showing up. And
2,000.
There were no other parties that night.
Wow. Well, the news caught up with him because, as you can imagine, it got a little bit out of control. And you'll find out in the piece from the news about some of the stuff that ended up happening. But he starts where this clip begins, is where he's talking about how glad he was when the police and the paramedics finally showed up.
I'm glad they went. Mm-hmm. People could have been laying out in my yard dead this morning. I'm glad the police were here and the ambulances.
20-year-old James Taylor says it was a party for the record books, capturing these images while standing on the roof of his home with a crowd of roughly 2,000 people cheering him on. With two DJs, a fire thrower, go-go dancers, and strippers.
Okay, now let me...
Come on!
Let me stop right there. There's no way to tell if this is stuff that he set up or are these just people that got the word that there was going to be a party. I mean, he may have contacted a DJ, but who needs two? And where did the strippers come from and the fireball throwers and everything else? Like,
who
where
cares?
Did those people
That's
come
the
from?
Checklist of a party right there.
I guess so.
He says he successfully threw the largest party ever to hit West Michigan.
I didn't force anything down anybody's throat. I didn't make anybody stay here until 7 a.m. or 11 or whenever it is everybody finally left. I didn't make this kid pass out on my floor.
Okay, now, I assume this is sometime Sunday afternoon that the news is there talking to him. There's still somebody passed out on this kid's floor.
Yeah, the cameraman.
The camera pans over and there's a kid passed out or dead on the floor at his home.
Oh, face God. Down, just out.
Doesn't it seem like by the next afternoon, maybe you start, you know, waking up some of your guests and making them go home?
I would think.
What do you think his attitude is? How do you read him, Kevin, watching him talk on the news? He's pumped, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No
question.
He's
not at all apologetic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's very happy with
himself. He's proud.
Right.
People wanted to be here. That was their decision.
And it wasn't just outside. How many people do you think were in your house at one time?
Probably at least 500, but that's...
In this little house?
Oh, yeah.
Taylor says his house got so crowded, people couldn't move from one room to the other, and the floorboards were shaking because of all the extra weight.
People, like, literally, if you wanted to come in from, let's say, the garage, and you were walking in, it would have taken you 20 minutes to get to here.
Sure sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure does.
It's just a place where you can't move.
I don't know how accurate his number is. I can't imagine 500 people being in 800 square feet, but I guess it's possible if they're all crammed together.
When he said it would take 20 minutes, I mean, it literally was, I don't know, just should have taken you about 4 seconds.
Right.
So that is, that's why
Taylor says it was a gathering to celebrate a high school friend's birthday and also a goodbye party for him before he moves to California next week. Taylor says his address was given out at about 4 p.m. on Saturday, just enough time to give a heads up for people who wanted to attend, but not enough time for word to get out to police.
I guess somebody drove all day during the party day from Tampa.
Okay, Lisa, to answer your question, there were no other parties going on apparently in the eastern United States.
Wait, this was in Michigan?
Yes.
And that dude drove from Tampa?
Yes.
That's insane.
Wow. That dude must be like, I finally got invited to my first party. I'm going to go. That has to be 1,000 miles, right?
Wow.
All the way to here just to come to this party.
The Mecosta County Sheriff's Office says at least 2,000 people, many of them under 21 years old, attended the party, resulting in at least 6 drug overdoses and the sexual assault of a 19-year-old Mount Pleasant woman. What do you say to anyone who says you're responsible?
Okay, now here's where this guy wins me, because he's already young, Kevin, okay?
How dare you?
But now we've just heard that there were potentially hundreds of underage drinkers there, and a woman was allegedly sexually assaulted. Now, at that point, if you're the homeowner, I would think you would not only have some concern for your fellow humans, but you would be concerned about the liability of being the host of that party, right?
Yeah, I would think both, yeah.
I think this is where you distance yourself a little bit. Let's see what James comes up with.
What do you say to anyone who says you're responsible?
I am. What? It's my house. You got to deal with it afterwards, but apparently it was worth it.
Apparently it was worth it.
Not to the six kids, by the way, who ended up in the hospital after the party, or, you know, the woman who's dealing with her own struggles.
Accepting part of the responsibility, Taylor says he was unaware anyone at the party was underage and says their parents should be held accountable.
Well, the time that you're pointing at someone, you got three fingers pointing back at you, and if you're a parent that's got a 14-year-old child that's been able to be at my house all night, and according to the police, there was a lot of them here. So,
aren't you kind of sinking yourself at this point, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, look at all these underage kids drinking in my house.
I got to tell you, I've never seen more underage kids.
Somebody should be held responsible for this party that's going on in my house.
I think some parents should do some reflections on their parenting before they start getting mad at me.
Now more popular than ever, Taylor says he's not ruling out another party.
Yeah!
Any more parties here? Planning?
There's always a coming home party. I feel like anybody that's got a real problem with me partying out here in the middle of nowhere is a spaz.
Well, that's a good way to leave it right there. So there is our friend James Taylor from Western Michigan, who just threw the biggest party in the history of that part of the state.
Wow, that is the third time this week that I've actually started talking without my mic on. Third time.
Dude.
Three.
Seriously.
Three. And it's just Friday. It's only Friday.
So. Hey, listen to this, you guys. Expendables 3 in theaters on August 15th, but you can see it on the 11th. We're going to open up the phone lines right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to earn your way in, we've been giving you a clue as we invite you to call every day this week. Today's clue is, if you're a fan of the great action star Harrison Ford, that'll help you out this morning. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play that game coming up in minutes here on K-Rock.
You don't hear a lot about the Secret Service. Details they're not supposed to give out.
Right.
You know, it's super, you know, super private, and they keep all of their, you know, they keep everything that they do for the president, the vice president, everything else. Mm-hmm. They keep it silent. So it's strange that a book is coming out.
I will read this book.
I will too.
Fascinated with the Secret Service. And it makes sense that they don't reveal very many details about their jobs because they don't want people to know what they do or how they work or, you know, what their protocols are because they're trying to protect people.
Right. But don't you think that then they, how does a guy write a book?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the only way you can do it is by promising the Secret Service employees, past and present, that you will keep them anonymous, that you will not reveal anything that they've told you, and they, you know, they won't be on the hook for it. But listen to this news report about some of the surprising revelations in a new book that is coming out called The First Family Detail by author Robert Kessler.
A new tell-all book by Ronald Kessler claims Secret Service agents do not look forward to the Joe Biden assignment due in part to the vice president's penchant for skinny dipping. In The First Family Detail, unnamed Secret Service agents divulge the hidden lives of presidents and the other people they have sworn to protect. It probably comes as no surprise that Biden, who often comes off as bumbling to the public, would enjoy the freedom of naked swimming. He's not alone, though. Former President John Quincy Adams was said to enjoy nude dips in the Potomac River while in office.
Yes.
All right. I don't know what news reporter that is, but first of all, it's Robert Kessler, the author, not Ronald. And second of all, it's not penchant.
I know.
He has a penchant
for skinny dipping. So, I mean, I guess if you're on the detail, you're supposed to look the other way. You're supposed to give the people you're protecting their privacy. And if you're on the vice president's detail and he wants to skinny dip, I think you're just supposed to avert your eyes and let the man skinny dip,
maybe,
right?
But you would also, I would think, be concerned of, you know, his privacy, like keeping people not, other people from
yes,
not seeing him.
That would be part of your
especially
job.
Especially if he wants to walk around naked all the time.
Right?
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. Unfortunately, we're unable to get Mr. Kessler at this point. We're still working. But Dave did find a Secret Service agent who would like to remain anonymous. Oh. We will refer to as Agent X. And he is involved in some of the research that went into this new book called The First Family Detail. Hello, Secret Service Agent X.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're very good.
Good.
Don't worry. We will not be able to recognize your voice now, it sounds like, sir.
I certainly hope not, because I'm still currently a Secret Service agent, and I don't want to jeopardize my position or anyone that I protect.
Okay. All right. So how uncommon is something like this? Like, it's a shock to the public to find out that the vice president is skinny dipping. Do the people that you protect do a lot of things that we in the public just never hear about?
You have no idea.
Oh, really?
If the public knew what their politicians were doing in secret, I think it would really change their opinion of the government. I think people might start to not like politicians.
Well, it's possible they already don't like politicians. Standing up.
Fantastic.
Well, wow.
Are you one of the part of the source material for this new book, sir?
I was interviewed.
Okay.
By Ronald or Robert.
Whichever one wrote the book.
In fact, it was my quote that let him know about Vice President Biden.
Oh, so you're on the Biden detail, and he's
about his penchant for skinny dipping. Yeah.
Now it is. It's mentioned in the news report that I saw that this is uncomfortable for female Secret Service agents to have Vice President Biden just prancing around all naked.
Yeah, and it's no day in the park for male.
No, I guess
I'll tell you.
Nobody wants to see that.
We really don't. He has. He had hair plugs put in his pubis.
Oh wow!
Yeah, not just his head. He also had his pubic region done, and he looks like a doll's head down there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and nobody wants to see senior citizen testicles. You know, Lisa.
Yeah, I do know.
So what else? We haven't seen the book yet, Secret Service Agent X. But what else can you tell us about some of the things that we'll be reading about when it comes out?
Well, I've been on the First Family detail for many years.
Okay.
So I've been through several administrations, and each administration has its own unique scenarios that you have to deal with as a Secret Service agent.
Mm-hmm. Anything you can give us details on?
Or? Well, Clinton. Don't get me started on Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Okay, tell us about President Clinton.
I can't. I mean, it's just so many whores.
Oh, really?
We used to go out and with a semi-tractor trailer truck and just pick up whores. And then just dump them off on the front lawn in the Rose Garden.
Wow.
I caught an STD just by working around President Clinton.
Wow.
So Monica Lewinsky, that was the one we found out about, but there were plenty others, you're telling us.
Yes, plenty others.
Okay.
And Gore, his vice president, was a big pain in the ass.
Now what? Mm-hmm. What about him?
He would make us break into homes in the middle of the night around Washington, D.C., and turn off people's lights to protect the environment, he said.
And you're not allowed to say, we'd rather not, or I don't want to do that.
No, it's a direct order from the vice president. I just serve at the pleasure of the president, of course. And so we'd go in and turn off people's laptops and turn off their fridges. A lot of warm food after Gore visited your house.
Yeah, bridges. No one wants that. That's no good.
Of course, with Biden, we mentioned the nude swimming.
Sure.
Obama's difficult also when you're working for the president.
All right, what about him?
Well, it's just hard to smuggle him back and forth from Kenya so he can visit his family.
And
it's hard also to stop his visits to the mosque. You have to pretend. You have to wrap him in a sheet. And then,
it's a hardcore Muslim, yeah.
Yeah, so when you take him to the mosque, you want to avoid the press from getting pictures of him, slitting the throat of a goat or whatever.
That's a lot of responsibility on you guys to keep his secret safe.
Cheney was hard.
Dick Cheney, sure.
Just an endless supply of virgins for him to drink the blood of.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's hard to find a virgin, period, in Washington, D.C. But then you got to get them up on the satanic altar, and then he's got to drink their blood, and there's a ceremony. Ah, it's exhausting.
That's a lot to keep to yourself.
Yeah. Keep him alive for 900 years. He needs fuel.
And Bush was hard.
Sure.
Bush sometimes thought Wednesday was Friday.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's a man running the world.
He thought a yard was 2.5 feet long.
Uh-huh.
He thought the Blue Man Group painted their face red.
I think I know a guy who could be president then.
We used to have to pre-chew his pretzels so he wouldn't choke to death. Guy was an idiot.
Pre-chew? That sounds terrible.
Well, you'd choke on a pretzel if you gave him a whole pretzel, for God's sake.
Yeah.
like dealing with a toddler.
All right.
All right. Or with Kevin. One or the other.
Take it easy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
It's a little disturbing to me. We've stopped playing Bean's rendition of that song after that song. We used to do that all the
time.
Yeah,
that's true.
So let's not let that ball drop.
I'll make a note.
Future reference.
Yeah.
All right.
Expendables 3, you guys, comes out a week from Friday. We've got a chance for you to see it on August 11th instead of the 15th when it's in theaters everywhere. What an unbelievable cast with Sylvester Stallone returning, Jason Statham, Randy Couture, Ronda Rousey, so much more. Antonio Banderas, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mel Gibson. But our special guest in the movie and in our studio right now is the great Harrison Ford, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Mr. Ford. How are you, sir?
Thank you.
What a thrill to have you here.
Sam, going to be here in all whether we do in the morning.
All right, we'll take it from here. So what we're doing is we're giving the listeners an opportunity to win their way into Expendables 3.
I can do it. I can do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. You take it then.
I'm playing a clip from...
Can you speak up just a little bit, though, because people may be having trouble hearing you, sir?
I think maybe you should do it, Bean.
One of my movies, and then...
Play a clip from one of your movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they have to tell us...
Then we have to go. Which one is.
What? What the name of the movie is, and then they win their way into Expendables 3. All right, let's play our game. We like to call it...
Expendables.
Ford!
Ford! Huh. What is he good for? Ford! Good God, y'all! What is he good for? Absolutely mumbling! Time to play the game!
Yeah!
Okay, time to play the game indeed. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, who is our first contestant? We play the clip. They tell us the name of the movie. They win their way into Expendables 3.
I believe that has been explained.
All right.
All right.
Jason in Los Angeles. Hi. I'm sorry, what, Harrison Ford?
Play the clip. And then
play the clip, and then they identify the clip. Okay, we got that. Thank you.
Jason, say hi to Harrison Ford.
Hey, Harrison Ford, how's it going?
Here's a clip.
I can't even. Here's a clip from a Harrison Ford movie. You give us the title.
Hey, Doc, we're looking for a prisoner from that bus train wreck a couple hours ago. Might be hurt.
What does he look like?
6'1", 180, brown hair, brown eyes, beard. See anyone like that around?
Every time I look in the mirror, pal. Except for the beard, of course.
What's that movie, Jason?
That would be The Fugitive. Yeah.
That's correct.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. Enjoy the film. Harrison, what was your favorite memory of filming The Fugitive?
Being
time
for that.
The time of the... When the dam.
Okay, let's move along to our next contestant.
Tommy Lee Jones would come in.
You asked the question. John in Cyprus, hi.
Morning, how you doing?
We are good.
I'm innocent. He said,
Harrison, we've moved on. We've moved on, Harrison.
Okay.
All right, we're going to play a clip. You tell us what the movie's called.
This is all right. The same direction those machines went with our kin. Are you going to be able to track it in the dark?
Round up the horses, get some supplies. We'll set off first light.
I need that weapon. It's the only thing that counts. I figure you owe me.
Yeah, it's the only thing counting.
What do you think there, John?
I'm thinking it's 6 days, seven nights.
Not a lot of horses in that movie. We were actually looking for cowboys and aliens.
Cowboys and aliens,
Darn.
Ford!
That's all we have? That's it?
Ford!
All right. Steve in Azusa, hello.
Good. Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
We are good.
Good morning, Mr. Ford.
Good morning to you, Steve.
Steve
from Azusa.
Yes, yeah,
Steve from Azusa. Right, all right. Here's Steve's clip. Here's the clip.
You're reading a magazine. You come across a full-page nude photo of a girl.
Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Deckard?
Just answer the questions, please. You show it to your husband. He likes it so much, he hangs it on your bedroom wall.
I'm going to say Hollywood Homicide?
Come on.
That was Blade Runner.
Replicant. Right there in the clip.
Yeah. What the hell is Hollywood Homicide, Harrison Ford? Is that a movie of yours?
That was another movie I did.
I don't know that movie either.
All right.
All right, who's next?
Ford!
We have Tim in Los Angeles. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
Here's a clip.
Here's a clip.
How are you?
We're sending a squad up.
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock it down. Large leak. Very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
conversation anyway. Lou, we're going to have company!
Yeah, I want the movies out.
Yeah, that's Star Wars Episode 4.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Nicely done.
Yeah. I almost said AC/DC.
Would have been an acceptable answer. Thank you. Enjoy the Expendables 3. We got time for just a couple more. Harrison Ford movies. Who's our next contestant?
Remember when I used to speak up.
What?
Yeah, you did. You're dynamic up in that clip, Harrison.
Sure. Good time.
Victor and Downey, hi.
Hello.
Are you ready for your clip? Here it comes.
Get off my plane.
Ooh, iconic. Yeah. What do you think, Victor?
I'm thinking Air Force One.
That is correct.
Yep.
Snakes on a plane.
No, it's Air Force One.
Air Force One. No snakes.
Sure
no snakes.
Right. Pretty sure, yeah.
Why did that
All right,
snakes?
So that's one, two, three, four. I think we have one pair left.
Let's go to Joey in Norwalk. Hi.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, Joey. Here's your clip.
I'm going to blow up the acronym.
Your persistence surprises even me.
Surely you don't think you can escape from this island.
It depends on how reasonable we're all willing to be. All I want is the girl.
If we refuse...
then your Fuhrer has no prize.
Oh, what a good movie. What do you think there, dude?
Indiana Jones?
Not really the name of the movie, is it?
No, no.
You remember the name of the movie?
Give us the name of the movie. That's the character. What's the name of the film?
Raiders of the... I don't know, one of those ones?
Raiders of the I Don't Know. All right, last chance.
Give him
What's
him
the
nothing.
Name of the movie?
Give him nothing?
Give him nothing.
All right, sorry.
Come on.
Time's up. No, come
Doesn't
on.
Doesn't sound like he knows. Doesn't have another guess. Raiders of the Lost Ark is what we're looking
whatever
for. All right.
Whatever those is, that one.
What?
Ark was in the clip, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Actual word
I
Ark.
Thought that was the giveaway. All right, who's
lost.
This?
You just have to come up with lost.
Yeah. That's it. All right, let's go to Eric in Canoga Park. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Here's your clip.
SO-13 traced the weapons used in the Lord Holmes incident to an arms dealer that supplies Gaddafi. Now, when Sean Miller escaped, he was last seen in a Zodiac heading out into the channel in a gale, which didn't make much sense until I checked on the freighters that were out there that day.
Boy, that's a lot of dialogue, Harrison.
Yes, yeah, it was exhausting.
Ooh, I'm going to go out on a limb. Is that K-19 Widowmaker?
Patriot.
Sorry, Patriot Games.
Ah,
yeah. Sorry, thank you for the call. All right, one more. We don't want to go out on a loser.
No.
Let's go to Rudy in Bellflower.
Loser.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Let's go. Hey, Rudy. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready to play.
Here's your clip,
Listen up.
Rudy.
People aren't going to like this. They're going to do anything to get you to react. Echo a curse with a curse, and they'll hear only yours. Follow a blow with a blow, and they'll say, the Negro lost his temper. Your enemy will be out in force, and you cannot meet him on his own low ground.
All right, Rudy, we're counting on you. Your name's Rudy. You have to be a Dodgers fan. What's the answer?
42.
42 yeah! is correct.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Yay.
That's a lot of energy from you, Harrison.
I'm really happy for him.
That's great.
Ford!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
One of our favorites, the great Will Arnett, joins us right after the top of the hour talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're heroes on the half shell, don't you know?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, heroes in a half shell, turtle power!
That's the one. That's the one. Talk about that coming up right after 7. First, the ref serve of the show is being on a Wednesday.
Speaking of... the Turts.
The Turts?
Yeah.
Is what they're known as
sure.
there?
Right. Originally comic book characters. It's New Comic Book Day!
Yay!
Oh. Wednesday is New Comic Book Day.
I wish I knew someone that made comics.
Well, you'd be surprised to know, Kevin, that issue number three of six of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet is available in stores everywhere today. Just want to give
I'm sorry. I don't speak. Geek.
Well, shout out if you're following that wildly popular comic miniseries that the latest issue is now available for purchase today on New Comic Book
that
Day.
That does seem to be taking over the world.
So go to your local comic book store and pick it up. And Saturday, by the way, Saturday at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our patented live reading of that very same comic book, complete with music and sound effects and hilarious voices. We're doing that Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. And then at 10 o'clock that same night, Saturday night, Hollywood Babylon. It's a double feature.
No.
It's a Smith and Garmin double feature on Saturday.
Not interested.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets for both of those events.
Hashtag suck it.
Come on. That's not nice at all. Here's what happens when celebrities mate and breed.
Uh-oh.
Because celebrities tend to marry other spectacularly good-looking celebrities.
Sure.
Because they can.
Because they can. And so they have ridiculously beautiful children. I was stunned and surprised by the list of famous offspring that are models. So it happens when celebrities breed, you get mannequins. Just really good-looking mannequins come out. And you put clothes on them and you put them on a runway. Here are the famous kids that are all currently working in the fashion industry as models. Kendall Jenner, of course.
Sure.
Dree Hemingway. She's the daughter of Mariel Hemingway.
Okay.
Patrick Schwarzenegger. He's working for Tom Ford now. He's a model.
All right.
Ireland Baldwin, daughter of Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. Haley Baldwin, daughter of Stephen Baldwin, the born-again Baldwin. Sailor Brinkley, Christy Brinkley's daughter.
Sailor.
Come on. Romeo Beckham. The son of Victoria and David Beckham, Romeo. Dylan Penn, Sean Penn and Robin Wright's daughter. Tally Lennox, daughter of Annie Lennox. Amber LeBon, daughter of Simon LeBon from Duran Duran. Georgia Mae Jagger.
This is shocking.
Keith Richards' daughter, both daughters, Alexandra and Theodora Richards, both models. Daisy Lowe, daughter of Gavin Rosdale and Pearl Lowe. So all those people. Big-time models.
How about that?
Turns out they're attractive people, those celebrities. Who could have guessed?
Hmm.
Looks like we knew the next cast for HBO's True Detective. I don't know if you watched True Detective in its first outing. They had, of course, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson playing detectives on that HBO show.
It was awesome.
It was a dark, awesome, cool show.
Yes. And this is the hottest job in Hollywood, getting on this next True Detective. Like, everybody wants to be a part of this, right?
So the premise always was to take a story and tell the tale and then recast with other big stars so that no celebrities would ever have to commit for an entire length of the run of the series. They will do new stories each season, a la American Horror Story.
Right?
That's the new phenomenon, is that if you get really good actors, you can book them just for one short season, and then you reinvent yourself the next season. So they're looking for the new stars of this second season of True Detective. Vince Vaughn has been announced as one of the stars of the series. Now, who will play his partner? They're saying Colin Farrell or Taylor Kitsch are both been in talks.
Okay.
But it looks like Elizabeth Moss of Mad Men will also join in season two, playing a sheriff in that cast as well. So, pretty loaded up with talent.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Great cast.
When is that going
to
be?
I don't know when it's set to air. It'll be a while, yeah, because they haven't even cast it yet, which means they're not in production, which means it'll be a while before it reaches their screens.
Come on, get with it, people.
But Kevin's in a hurry.
I'm impatient.
So get on it, would you?
Kevin doesn't know how much time he has left.
Craig Ferguson is leaving his late-night show, and everyone's been talking about who's going to take over, of course, for David Letterman, with him leaving, with Stephen Colbert. But who's going to take over for Craig Ferguson? No one has announced yet. Looks like we have a name. He is a British actor-comedian named James Corden.
Oh, I never heard of him.
He is the frontrunner to replace Craig Ferguson. You've seen him in the Keira Knightley film Begin Again, if you saw that. He also was on Broadway in a show called One Man, Two Governors, which he won a Tony Award for. He has done a ton of stuff in the UK. He's on a popular sitcom over there. Looks like he may be moving to the States to take over that slot. Look, they had a Scot, why not a Brit for that show. And he's very funny, funny guy.
I'm happy to see a white man get a crack at late-night TV.
How dare you?
It's about time.
And Jeff Goldblum's a good guy.
Love him.
Seems like it.
Nice man.
Seems like
hell of a piano player.
Great piano player. He can be a fly sometimes.
Sure.
That's an impressive trick at parties.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very young fiance named Emily Livingston. And she was close friends with a bride who got married over the weekend, and Jeff was her plus one to the wedding. So the young couple who Emily was friends with took advantage of the star power in attendance and asked Jeff Goldblum if he would do them a huge favor. He said, "What?" They said, "Don't get all persnickety. Just calm down, Mr. Showbiz.
You take it easy."
You take it easy. He said, "Would you join the rest of the bridal party in pretending to run from a Tyrannosaurus Rex and then we'll Photoshop in the dinosaur after the fact in the photo. That's a lot to ask of one of the stars of Jurassic Park, I think. I think it's a lot to ask. But Jeff Goldblum was kind enough to say, okay, let's do this. And then with photos online this week of the entire Piranha Party running, looking behind them, and behind them is a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex chasing them, and Jeff Goldblum is in the mix with the bridal party.
That's a weird thing for a couple to agree on at their wedding.
Let's get Jeff Goldblum to pretend we're running from a dinosaur.
And then we can Photoshop in dinosaurs. This is going
to
be awesome.
See, this is why you don't invite celebrities to your wedding, because then it becomes about Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that's right.
Your entire photo shoot has become, how can we work Jeff Goldblum into the picture versus let's capture moments from our special day.
Yeah.
Then Goldblum humped the bread.
Is that part of the story? I don't
know. It is in my head.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, M. Night Shyamalan is 44 years old today. Someone sent me a little birthday factoid regarding M. Night.
Okay.
His last four films, if you add up their ratings from Rotten Tomatoes, he just breaks 86. This is an average over four films.
Wow.
This is, if you take the percentage of positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for all the past four films, and you add them together, you get 86.
So he's getting like 20 a film.
He's roughly 20 a
film. Isn't he the one that said, if you don't like it, you just don't get it?
You don't get my films. If you don't like it, you
don't get it. It's not me. It's not my film.
No, you.
It's you. It's the viewer.
Yeah. Jerry Halliwell of Spice Girl fame.
Yo!
Do not ask Jerry Halliwell when she wants for her birthday, because then she goes into that routine and you'll never get anywhere.
And she's your favorite Spice Girl, right?
She is Ginger. She is the red-headed Spice, and she was my favorite of all the Spices. Vera Farmiga, or Farmiga, from Bates Motel, 41 years old today. The lovely and talented Melissa George is 38. Marissa Miller is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know what you're thinking. Arctic Monkeys, love that band. They're playing at Staples Center tomorrow night. I want to go. But it's sold out.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I got some great news. We got some tickets for you here at K-Rock. If you want to go to see the Arctic Monkeys, pick up the phone and give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20. You will be at the show courtesy of the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, we're waiting for Will Arnett, who we're going to talk to about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I didn't realize until today when I walked in we had this conversation. Lisa's never seen it.
Mm-mm.
In any way, any part. Any...
Nope.
Bean's never seen it.
I don't know anything about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, I know they were big in the 80s, and they seemed to be one of those things that people really like fell in love with, and there was a lot of nostalgia and flashback love for. But it seems to me that it's also the type of thing that develops new generations of kid fans as we go, too.
I think so.
Apparently everybody loves the Turtles, except we don't know anything about them.
Well, when we get Will, do we act like we know? I mean, do we go, hey, wow, this looks like a great storyline. It reminds me of the old days.
Will's too smart for that.
Oh. He's going to see right through our nonsense. Oh, we just got to come straight with Will Arnett. Okay. Will, what the hell are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, son?
You know what? It's funny that you say that. I kind of wish your attitude had been more like, yeah, hey, what's up with the Turtles? Like as if you knew what was going on.
See?
We
blew it. We blew it. Picked the wrong one. Every time we have a 50-50 chance, we make the wrong choice.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people, though. Please tell us that we're not the only ones out here on a little island who never saw the Turtles, right?
No. You know what? You're not. It's kind of one of those things. Sometimes people have fallen between the generations on the Turtles,
right?
Let me just say this. You've heard of them before, right?
Yeah, we have. Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You just weren't like hardcore fans.
Well, I mean, we've literally not seen any of it.
Right. And when I start hearing about the movie that comes out everywhere on Friday, and I start reading about Shredder and the Foot Clan, and I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I'm going in at a disadvantage. Like, what's my backstory to know to walk into the Turtles movie?
All you need to know is, A, they're teenagers.
Okay.
B,
they're mutants.
On top of that, they're mutants. Yeah. The way you cut in there, I feel like you know where I'm going.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
But you know what it is? It's actually a really great story, and it's a story that it's kind of come back around, and it's a great story because it's such, at its core, it's about these four brothers who happen to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
But they're fighting, it's, you know, classic good versus evil, and the bad guy is a super badass named the Shredder. And, you know, epic battles ensue in the streets and or sewers of New York City. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you are Vern, this is a great name, Vern Fenwick, and you are a cameraman. And as I understand, you're on Megan Fox's April O'Neil like glue. Like, you two are a team, right?
Yeah, we're totally a team. By the way, when you hear the name Vern Fenwick, does it elicit thoughts of like an action star?
Nope. Not so much. No.
No, that's an accountant.
But I do wonder, and I suspect that your message to the public is, oh, I did this movie for the kids because I have the boys, and they're going to love this movie, and it's fun to work, you know, in the family friendly. But I know what really happened is you said, me and Megan Fox for 3 months. I'm in.
First of all, how dare you accuse me of trying to Shanghai the public with some and you know cloaked in niceties about doing good stuff for the kids, and all I really want to do is ogle Megan Fox.
Yeah.
And B, how dare you know the truth?
Yeah. Look, no one is blaming you. She's like a unicorn. Like, I still can't believe that woman is real.
Yeah, she's. It's kind of one of those crazy things. You're like, oh, you get to go to work all day for 3 months and look at Megan Fox. I don't mean to objectify her. The rest of the world has done plenty of that for me.
We've done that a lot as well, so don't worry about that being done.
Okay, good. So that's on you.
Right, that's good.
But talk about a good deal.
Yeah, and by the way, don't you think it works? I mean, look, you know Slouch yourself, Will Arnett. I mean, don't you think her friends were calling her up going, oh, my God, Will Arnett, seriously? You get to look at that hunky man all week?
Actually, you know what? It's funny you say that. I don't think they were.
That's not the case.
What's cooler, Will, being in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or being Batman in the Lego movie? How's that for a 1-2 punch, dude?
Yeah, I got to say it's a bit of a toss-up. I mean, it was a good year in my house for the in terms of doing stuff that my kids want to watch.
Sure.
So it was pretty awesome. That was a great experience, obviously, doing the Lego movie and playing Batman, and then to be able to do this, it's, you know, my kids look at it like this. I know the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm friends with them. And I'm Batman. So it's pretty good.
Wow. That's not bad.
You know, we always talk about on this show with Kevin and his kids or with some of the guests that we have. And is there ever a time where your kids think you're cool no matter who you are? I suspect you may be one of the few dads who actually has kids who thinks he's cool because of the work you do.
You know what? Potentially, but my kids fall victim to the same thing. Like I said before, even with the Ninja Turtles movie, it's more like it's just that I know the turtles. They don't really care about me.
They don't recognize your career, your great career. And
no,
what you're
they're
doing.
Not. They're not impressed with Vern Fenwick either.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. The movie opens up on Friday. It looks like it's a lot of fun, Will, and we're very excited to see it. I mean, I think this is going to be us, wading into the deep end of the turtles. This is going to be our first experience. So I think it's going to be a good one.
That's good. You know, it is a super fun movie. One of the things, you know, there are a lot of people who are worried about us kind of destroying the legacy of the turtles. And I say to all those people, don't worry. It's all we tried to do was in the spirit of the Ninja Turtles, is make a fun movie. And I think we did that. It's just a lot of fun.
Amen. Well, Will, you know we love you, and you're always welcome on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Artemio Lopez from Castaic, thank you for listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Please enjoy On Us, the Arctic Monkeys, tomorrow night at Staples Center. Keep listening for your chance to win. Marilyn Ryskup joins us next hour, comedian and actress Adam Carolla in the 9 o'clock hour. What's going on with you, Kevin, in the latest Twitter fight that you're getting into with your followers? What's that all about?
Well,
I saw some ugliness over the weekend, my friend.
I was watching SportsCenter, and I saw that Tiger Woods got injured. And to me, it's golf.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. Golf's not a sport. That's not a thing. That's not a thing, right? That's not a sport.
Well,
maybe it's a game.
Chess is a game. Right. I've heard that criticism of golf before, but you do know that it is incredibly taxing and draining to play professional golf.
That's,
I mean, you do know
draining.
there's a lot of physicality involved in it.
They walk. That's it. They walk. You know what? You can be fat and you can be old. It's not a sport.
But you could do that in baseball, too. There's fat baseball players. Yeah.
Baseball's on the edge for me as well. So anyway, so I tweeted, Tiger Woods got hurt playing golf, period. He was playing golf and got injured. That is all. And then a bunch of people responded, like, with anger. Oh, yeah, but it's not as bad as soccer because those guys hit a blade of grass and then they fall over.
But Kevin, don't you think there is, and look, I don't have a dog in this hunt at all, but don't you think that there is a certain amount of athleticism that is essential to be a good golfer? Which all involves, you know, not only the eye-hand coordination, but muscles. I mean, don't you think physically you have to be in some sort of great shape to be able to hit a ball, you know, straight and far?
Nope.
Really?
I do not. I do not. It's ridiculous. Let's be honest. It's not a sport. We've argued this before. Bean, you don't think it's a sport either.
Could you be a professional golfer?
No, but not because I'm not athletic. But just because it's a game that I haven't played my whole life.
No, that doesn't make sense.
I wouldn't be good at chess either.
There's tons of people who could play it their whole lives and could never be professional. It's really hard.
Right. It's really hard.
Really, really hard.
Or I'm not saying it's not hard. It could be super hard. Doesn't make it a sport.
Not a sport.
What's your definition of sport?
I don't know. Activity?
You have to run?
You know, there's got to be some kind of activity, some kind of output other than walking. And by the way, they've got a guy to pull out the golf club for you.
Right. Of course they have a caddy, yeah.
Because you walk that far, you can't pull out a club. That's too much to ask.
Well, look, we're going to take some calls if you disagree with Kevin on golf. He says golf is not a sport and not difficult to play, right?
No, I said it is difficult to play, but that doesn't make it a sport.
Okay.
It's not a
sport. We're going to take some calls on that at 1-800-520-1067. Before the break, though, and before we go to those calls, I think we have somebody who might be able to weigh in on this because he's a guy who not only knows about sports, he hosts the Money and Petros radio show on AM 570 and is a hell of a golfer himself. Matt Money Smith, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, Kevin.
Look, I concede it's difficult.
Kevin, you could never. If you started from birth,
right,
you could not swing a club 120 miles an hour and keep it under control to lead to a ball going 180 miles an hour exactly where you want it to. You could never do that. Well, never.
That's where. First of all, that's where you're wrong. Second of all, if I did, I wouldn't be playing a sport. I would be playing a game.
Is powerlifting a sport?
Is powerlifting a sport?
Is powerlifting a sport?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, then you lose. Because there's no difference.
How does that work? There's no difference in powerlifting and golf.
None. It's a sequence that you use when moving your muscles in your body in order to move a weight up and down. Golf is using your muscles, coiling your body around your spine, creating a slingshot in order to provide force upon a ball to get it to go where you want. It's the same thing.
You have
thing.
To use force to do a Rubik's Cube, too, but that doesn't make it a sport.
Well, no, but I understand that, Kevin, but that's not what I asked you. I asked you if powerlifting's a sport. You acknowledged, yes, it is.
That's not a game ender. That doesn't end the conversation.
Basically, golf's the same thing. It is transfer of weight. It's moving your weight from your back foot to your front foot.
Wow.
Uncoiling your body and releasing force upon a ball to make it go somewhere. That's what golf is.
Yeah.
It's basically being a pitcher and a hitter at the same time.
I think Money brings up an excellent point, Kevin, that your initial criticism about golf is that you walk, you don't run. And I think he's
and
using an example of
pulls out a club for you.
But he's using an example of powerlifting where you don't walk either.
Nor
there's no walking at all.
Right,
but you are still doing something athletic with your body that is difficult and is a sport.
It's extreme physical activity.
So is a golf swing.
Nah.
No, I understand what you're saying, Kevin, and there's old people and there's fat people, and apparently old people and fat people can't be athletes now,
well,
according to Kevin.
For the most part, they're not. I mean, do you see any of them in the NBA? No, you do not.
Well, the NBA is...
The NFL? Nope.
It's predicated on endurance. You know, there is an endurance element to it, and it's being...
You know why?
...jog up and down a court.
Sport.
Yeah.
It's a sport.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I think the one thing to understand about golf is...
It's not a sport.
It's a sport because, A, there's a governing body. There's rules, and it's a game of skill, not a game of chance. You know, it is. There is a skill to swinging a club, to directing a ball.
But there's rules and skill involved in playing chess as well, Money.
But there's no physical exertion. None. There's not a single bit of physical exertion.
You have to reach up and move your rook. That has to happen.
But you don't have to. You don't have to coil up your body and then release it in perfect motion.
Yeah,
with perfect balance, with perfect weight shift. just kind of, I think one of the things I try to explain to people about golf, and one of the reasons why it's arguably my favorite sport, is the idea
your favorite
that,
activity.
It's not an activity. Is the idea that just because for the casual fan, just imagine a football field.
Right.
Now imagine three of those football fields.
Right.
Laid end to end.
Uh-huh.
And you have to stick a tiny ball in the ground.
Right. It's difficult.
And cause it to travel
sure.
those three football fields. Okay. How do you think you get that ball to travel three football fields? Do you think it just magically goes there?
I think they have
a physical movement.
I think the driver is a pretty heavy club and does most of the work.
It's actually a very light club. It's the lightest club in your bag.
That's what I meant.
That's why you have to swing it 120 miles per hour. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Do you know the amount? That's why Tiger's wrenching his back, because he swings the club so damn hard.
But don't you think other golfers go, dude, you're injured playing golf?
No.
Please.
No. And this would be my argument against the old people.
What a baby.
Think about this.
What?
One of the things about sports is, you know, it's for the young, that your body
Agreed.
Will break down and youth comes in and takes over, and there's nothing you can do about that. Golf is so hard. It is so freaking challenging that Tom Watson, at 64 years old, because he's one of the 10 best who have ever done it in the history of the world, can still hold off young kids with bigger muscles that are in better shape because they can't get that sequence right. They cannot get their body to do.
You're making my point, by the way. If a 65-year-old can play better than any. Name me one other sport where a 65-year-old can outplay somebody in their 20s.
And that's what I'm explaining, is that the sport is so. That's what makes it the beautiful game. Is it's
the beautiful game is soccer, first of all.
It's not. Not when guys are biting each other and writhing in pain on the ground because a blade of grass tackled them.
Yeah, that guy tweeted me. They run into a blade of grass, but then my response to him is, you have to get up a lot of speed to run into that blade of grass and fall.
There's nothing beautiful about that.
Oh, how
all right,
you.
Listen, we're gonna have to press pause right now. I think Money has made some excellent points for our audience to consider. Kevin says not a sport. Money says absolutely a sport.
His favorite sport.
We want to hear what you have to say at 1-800-520.
I am watching Garcia on the driving range right now. Oh, yep. Look at that posture.
1067.
Oh.
Petros and Money Radio Show airs weekday afternoons on AM 570. Thanks for coming on, Money.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Trying to settle one of the great debates of our time. Is golf a sport? Kevin says no. Matt Money Smith says yes. Let's see what President Bartlett has to say.
Okay, well, golf's not a sport. It's fine, don't get me wrong, but let's not you and I confuse it with things that men do.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to, we got some great calls on the line. Let's go to Chris. He's on line 6. He gets us started. He is in Anaheim this morning.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa and May.
Good morning.
You're calling
what
to
say
support,
you?
You're calling to support me? The golf's not a sport.
No, I'm not calling to support you.
Oh.
Kevin, have you played it?
Yes.
You have played it.
Of course.
And you don't think it's a sport?
No.
What's the difference between, like, say, golf and tennis? You're putting a ball where you want it to go. Tennis, you're just running around.
No, tennis, you have to run a lot, and you have to react immediately. There's a lot more activity in tennis.
You can run if you want to play golf. You can hit.
Nobody
the ball
runs
run
when
it.
They play golf.
You should ask tennis how. You should ask Kevin rather how he plays golf, because I think it's with a lot of beer and his brothers, and they just ride around like they have never tried to actually be good ever.
Because it's not a sport.
That's how you treat
it. We play it like a game, which it is. It's a game. It's competitive. It's difficult. I'll give you all of that. Just not a sport.
No, but it takes strength, athleticism to be really good at golf, and because of that, it makes it a sport.
Thank you for the call, Chris. We appreciate that. Let's go to George. George is on line 3. He's in Downey. He's got a little bit of a different definition.
All right, George, hi.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Bean, Lisa May?
Hi.
Hey, I don't think golf is a sport, and primarily because usually sports, you got to work with other individuals. You got to work as a team. You know, and that's my main factor on it.
I mean, I'm happy that you're calling to support my argument, but I would consider MMA a sport, and you do that by yourself.
Right. Half of the Olympic events you do by yourself, well, whether it's, you know, weightlifting or pole vaulting or anything like that. You don't have a team either.
No, of course. But the difference between golf and a sport, You get something out of it. You get you take.
All right, George, you've lost the room now. Thank you for the call.
I like George. He just doesn't like it. He's bored.
Let's go to Darren on line two. He's in Chino. I think he's going to get under your skin here a little bit, Kevin.
Hey, Darren.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good. Golf's not a sport, right?
Golf is absolutely a sport.
Come on.
It takes talent. It takes practice. It takes hard work and determination.
But
soccer doesn't take any of that. Soccer, all you do is run up and down the field.
Yeah, that's it. First of all, we're not arguing soccer right now, although I do understand a lot of people hate soccer. But just because you hate it doesn't mean it's not a sport.
But isn't that true of golf, though? Just because you hate it doesn't make it not a sport?
It could be a sport that I hate baseball. I consider that a sport.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can hate it and still give it, you know, being a sport. Baseball's barely a sport. Don't get me wrong.
All right. I mean,
come on. A lot of guys just go out there and stand there for the entire game and do nothing.
Let's go to Keith on line five. He's in Corona Del Mar. Hi, Keith. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're running out of time, but please help us settle this debate, would you?
Sure. From my perspective, we've had this argument in our offices quite a bit. I'm the athletic director at Irvine Valley College, so I actually make my living in this area.
Okay.
And we never get a clear definition except for maybe one. There are lots of contests. Game could be contests, just like the Pillsbury Bake Off and powerlifting. Sport requires defense.
Requires defense.
Sport requires defense. So tennis, you have to defend against an opponent. Football, you have to defend. Baseball, you have to defend whether you're hitting a pitch or you're fielding a hit ball.
Same with boxing.
We talk about
MMA.
Defense.
How about any of those, I mentioned some Olympic sports earlier, even things like archery and things like that. If you're out there competing by yourself, there's no one trying to stop you. That is not a sport in your definition.
It is a contest. It's a game, just like chutes and ladders.
That is interesting. That's a potentially workable definition, I think.
How about that?
I like it. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Jeff. He's in Newport Beach. He's on line eight. He's got something to add to the conversation.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, quick side note. The beautiful sport is actually women's beach volleyball. Moving on. Now, I think that it is a sport, but anybody can do it. Simple fact, simple point. John Daly, overweight, obese, alcoholic, walking the course, one of the longest hitters in history.
Right, but you can play sports drunk.
Yes.
I'm not sure whose side you're on.
I think he's on your side that it's not a sport because fat, drunk John Daly can do it, so it's not a sport. Is that what you're saying, Jeff?
No, I'm saying it is a sport, but I'm also supporting the fact that you don't have to be in shape to do it. You don't have to be athletic to do it.
It's a sport that you don't have to be athletic to compete in, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Kevin can appreciate the fact that you can be an alcoholic and still get by.
That's true. That's true. He's got a good point. Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Comedian, actress Marilyn Ryskov joins us right after the top of the hour, and I hate to even open this can of worms, Kevin, but I just need a one-word yay or nay because listeners are asking. NASCAR.
Oh.
Is it a sport?
Yes.
It is a sport.
I would say so.
Come on, you guys.
It is.
So much endurance.
Yeah, is there less athleticism involved in NASCAR than there is in golf, though?
Yes.
I think it takes a lot more energy for that than it does golf.
Yeah. Holding onto that wheel alone while you're going at that speed and doing those turns is a tremendous physical exertion. But to Kevin's point, again, I think also other guys in equally giant, fast-moving, weaponized automobiles are trying to stop you from getting where you want to go. So that immediate conflict of someone trying to stop you from performing.
There is defense.
There is defense in that, exactly.
So if in golf, if like some of the other golfers were to try and tackle you while you were trying to hit.
Or they just went, hey,
sport,
hey,
right?
Hey,
that's how I play.
That's a lot of heckling. Then that would be more of a sport.
That's how I play.
I'm sure you do.
They should allow heckling in golf. That would be the best.
They should.
Anything you need silence to do, that's not a sport.
If you have to be quiet while the guy's up there trying to hit the little ball, oh, no, everyone, all the onlookers, everybody be quiet because it's really hard.
Shut up.
But what about tennis? They want you to be quiet in tennis.
No, not for the most part.
The players themselves aren't quiet in tennis.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too.
Look, it's difficult. It's hard to master.
It's a skill.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
It's a competition.
It is a contest. It's a competition.
Okay.
Not a sport.
I think we've made some progress.
Ill advised.
Ralph is here now with the showbiz beat for a Wednesday or Friday if you're Kevin.
It is Friday. No, wait, it's Wednesday. That makes it New Comic Book Day. Go to your local comic book store. Support your local comic book store. That's what I say.
No.
Go out there and while you're there, if you happen to be at a comic book store, maybe you want to peruse the aisles and pick up a little book called The Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. Issue number 3 in stores
today.
It's
not a book. As much as it is
a pamphlet.
Oh, they just call it a comic book. It's a comic book. Short for that would be book.
Okay.
Or graphic novel.
Okay.
If you like. A chapter of a larger graphic novel. It's number 3 of 6, so it's out there today. Kevin Smith and I will be performing that very same said comic book live this Saturday at the Improv on Melrose at 8 p.m.
No, no, and no.
With our Comic-Con theater, and then at 10 p.m., it's Hollywood Babylon, a brand new Babylon. We haven't done that in a while because we were doing that TV pilot last weekend, so.
Why?
Come out and join us. You'll have a good time. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
Ralph is only funnier as he drinks more, so.
Yeah, and
it's a good time.
Same with Smith, the more stoned he gets, so. By around 11 o'clock when we peak, hilarity ensues. Oh. I'm disturbed. I was having a good morning, and then I came across this, and now I'm disturbed.
What happened?
You're familiar with the Chainsmokers, Kevin? You're familiar with the musical act of the Chainsmokers?
They do that terrible selfie song.
They gave us selfie.
Okay.
The smash hit Selfie came out of the collective brain trust that is the Chainsmokers. They've got a brand new single that they released today called Kanye. And so they continue to celebrate all things horrible, first with Selfie, now with Kanye. It's about how we should all be more like Kanye.
No.
Oh, yeah. Take a listen. One day I'll stand with the crown on my head like a god. Yeah, like a god. With every step, no, I won't second guess what I want. I want to be like Kanye. Nope. I'll be the king of me always. Do what I want, I'll have it my way. All day like Kanye. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that seems pointless.
They want to be like Kanye.
They sure do.
I just see kids holding hands in a field somewhere in the video, just swaying back and forth like a children's choir, saying how they want to be like Kanye. Give me a list of celebrities who I want to be before you get to Kanye West, and the weight of that list would crush.
It's all famous people and then Kanye at the bottom.
And here's the thing. I don't even think Kanye enjoys being Kanye. Have you ever seen a guy with that much celebrity, power, and money who complains more about his freaking life?
Yep.
He can't make his leather jogging pants, and they won't let him in at this fashion show, and the press doesn't like him, and his wife doesn't have a star in the house. This guy does nothing but bitch, bitch, bitch.
Yeah, true.
He seems genuinely unhappy with his life.
Have you seen him on some of the magazine covers that he's been on? He just looks like he's
sullen. It's sad Kanye memes everywhere on the internet. He's just sitting there looking unhappy. Nobody likes being Kanye less than Kanye does. Why would I want to be like Kanye?
He's miserable.
He's got a new interview out in one of the magazines, Ralph, where he talks about being celebrities today are treated like slaves were treated before they were emancipated.
Yes.
Yeah, someone got a hold of a deposition that he gave in a case regarding breaking the camera of a paparazzo. And he talks about how celebrities are the new minority and how they should be protected like other minorities.
Right.
And he also says Kanye West is the smartest effing celebrity you'll ever meet.
Wait, he says that
about himself. He spoke in the third person about how smart he is. Yeah, it's fascinating reading if you get your hands on that.
I want to be like Kanye.
I don't want to be like Kanye at all. Not even a little bit.
That's awesome.
So a lot of the people I'd rather be like Ricky Gervais, for example.
Sure.
He seems like he has a good time being Ricky Gervais.
He does.
He's just announced he's doing a spin-off of his TV series, The Office, which was the original BBC series that, of course, spawned the American hit as well. His character, David Brent, who was the head of the paper company where they worked, is now getting a feature film. It'll be what he's been up to since in the 15 years since he left the company. I can't believe that show was 15 years ago.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm into it. The film will be called Life on the Road, and it will show him as a traveling salesman for a cleaning product and also trying to fulfill his dreams of becoming a rock star, being a musician. So, I'm all for it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Director M. Night Shyamalan is 44 years old today.
Or is he?
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm. Right?
When you get to his birthday, you find out it's actually a funeral! Twist! Jerry Halliwell's 42 years old today. She's the Spice Girls!
Ralph loves the Spice Girls.
I love the Spice Girls.
A little too much. Yeah.
I can't help it.
I have to be honest.
It's infectious. How can you not love it? It's just,
I'm not saying
just
I hate
joy.
It.
It's just joy on a record right there.
I'm not saying I hate it. I'm saying, how do you love it that much?
Five adorable British women just giving you joy. It's all I've ever wanted. All I ever wanted is five British women giving me joy for about 3 minutes.
That's all it would take.
Or a minute and a half, however long it takes. Vera Farmiga is 41 years old today. Melissa George is 38. Actress model Marissa Miller is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That Weezer song pressed a memory button with Mary Lynn Reiskamp, who joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. What was going on in your head? You were practically in tears.
I really was. Wow, you're really good at exaggeration.
Right?
But you know what?
I'm the best in the world at exaggeration.
I can totally do a comedy LA scene name droppy. I think I remember being at a party and Janine Garofalo brought, it was her and her friend who had this Weezer album. And I remember being at like a house party and listening to it in a bedroom and us all just rocking out.
Just loving it.
And so it reminds me of the 90s comedy alternative scene.
I was there too.
Love
then.
Every song.
If you have
that
a
record.
Vague memory of it, then I was there too.
You were in the back.
It was awesome.
Doing beer bongs.
What were you? What was your life like in the 90s? Had you just moved to LA to try to make it in the show business?
I would have never done it if I had moved here to break into it. I never thought in a million years I would do that. I was going to art school for painting. Then I started doing performance art.
Right. You know, sure. art without any materials.
Right. And that's where you go in and you pee on a wall and say it's art, right? It's that sort of thing. Or you get Yoko Ono to come in and scream at you.
Are you good
exactly.
at painting? Do you do it on the side? Or?
You know, I got to the point where I could have been good. I started with watercolors, like flowers, and then I learned about my modern arts, and I got all crazy and, you know, symbols and very colorful.
Sure.
And I took that, like the life drawing where there was a really strict teacher where you had to measure the bones and all that, you know, and draw the skeleton.
Fun.
Well, I was sitting there, and I just went, I can't. And that's when I knew I don't have the patience to, like, really work on this. So it'd be, like, sort of mediocre and, like, oh, I really have to measure and study and sit here.
None of that stuff seriously, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when I started going out into bars and
drinking.
Performing.
Then you realized there was alcohol.
Taping my genitals, calling it art.
Let me ask you about that, because we have conversations every once in a while. We'll see something on the news like, Tilda Swinton is sleeping in a box at the MoMA or something. And
what the hell?
Is there, help us out here, because you're smarter than we are, Marilyn.
You just pulled out Tilda Swinton.
Because we had a
sleeping
big
in a box.
We
you
had
did?
A big conversation about it. Like, what is that? That's
like,
not art.
At what point, I mean,
or
Shia what's your...
crying
yes.
in a row.
Yes, exactly. Aww. In a paper bag, right, over his head. What's your? Do you have a definition at what point something goes from art to not art, or is it just in the eye of the creator?
Well, you know, I mean, I have a soft place in my heart for all of that, and I think there's value in it. But I think for me, that went out the window when I started doing comedy, because it became comical for me. That was the bridge where people started laughing at me. Because, you know, I was doing all these, like, sentences and, like, what are you guys looking at? And all this, like, experimental performance. And people were laughing and I didn't know why. And then I started meeting comedians and I was like, oh, that's more interesting to me. It makes more sense to me, that style of performance. Not to disparage the art thing, but I think for me, I got to the point where I was like, I don't get it. I don't know. It's good for exploration.
Sure.
Because
I totally understand the people who look at even somebody famous like a Jackson Pollock or somebody or a Mondrian or a very popular, successful, worth multi-million dollar artist and goes, that's not art because anyone can do it. I totally understand that. I mean, it's just so subjective what's art and what's not.
Yeah. I mean, I really...
I feel like if I can do it, it's not art. That's my line because I'm not
but
talented.
We don't say we can do it, but nobody ever
but we
actually
don't.
Tries to do it.
No,
see
I'm
what
saying
that
I
looks
can't.
Like.
I mean, I don't want to say you have to study it to get it, but to have a basic knowledge of the history of art, that's when it kind of blows your mind, when you see what art used to be.
Do you have to do that to be able to be a good artist?
A little bit.
Huh.
Maybe. Hmm. Because art used to be the only means of communication, right?
Right.
So that way when you trace the history of it and you get to like Pollock, you realize what they were doing socially and in society to kind of buck against the system of what art was. And that
is this is where you're too smart for us.
This is where it happened.
Let me scratch out art.
Pulling out some art school. Bye-bye.
Scratching out art.
So let me ask you this then.
I got confused. Do you think I'm pretty?
As we make a through line here in this conversation, so you got to the point where you realized you weren't going to be great as an artist, so you kind of lost interest in it. What's your evaluation of comedy? Do you look at that and go, well, I'm never going to be the comedian I think I'm going to be? Or is that something where you are super happy with what you've accomplished?
I'm pretty happy with it. And now I'm to the point in my life. God, we just got real deep real fast.
Yeah, that got serious quick.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm on the road doing comedy now, and I never thought I would be doing it at how I'm doing it now.
At this
level, yeah.
Because I was very experimental and do something different every time and say something different every time, and it was very creative, and all the people I was hanging out with were amazing. And I had a lot of stage time, but now is the first time where I'm putting together an act that's entertainment for the people. And instead of like hating on the audience, I'm embracing them and actually enjoying going to all these different cities. And it's a different concept than it was for me.
What are you doing at the Hollywood Improv Friday night?
Just totally painting. Partying with my clothes off.
Like you do.
Body painting. Pulling a scroll out of my vagina. Reading poetry off of it. It's really inviting.
I have to change my plans for Friday night.
I already saw Drew Carey do that.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
So are you working an act out for a special or something like that? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to put it down on tape, on videotape.
Strong.
You know, I'd like to have a record of what I've been working on, for sure.
Hollywood Improv, two shows, by the way, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Friday night. You can see Marilyn Ryskup on stage. We actually have some tickets to give away right now for fans of yours that want to come to the show Friday night at 1-800-520-1067. I think we got a few pair. If you want to buy them, they're only $20, and they're available at improv.com. A quick break, more with Marilyn right after this on K. Comedian, actress Marilyn Ryskup in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow her on Twitter at her last name. You can see her on stage at the Hollywood Improv this Friday night for two shows. 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Tickets available through improv.com. Only $20. Show is 18 and up. So you told us a little bit about how you kind of got started in comedy, but yes. How did you make the transition over to acting?
She was at a Starbucks. And a guy came up and said, I'm a producer.
He said, will you
take
your
shirt
off? Why do
please
I keep...
be a model.
Let's go back to my house.
Please be a model. So many people have said that to me over
the
years.
I'm going to be so tired of it.
Will you please be a model? It was part of the same thing for me. My approach to comedy is a bit, I don't do like broad characters, but it's very much... a storytelling. It's not like I'm up in my head like, here's a clever thing I thought of. So it sort of lended itself to acting. And it was from all those, shows in L.A. with this group of people when, it was before the internet was so big and people came out to shows to see people. And
oh, people did that?
People That's did weird. That.
Wow. And wait, there was a time before the internet?
Yeah, it's hard to have your brain try to understand that. But
I wouldn't want to live in that world, I'll tell you that.
I know.
Were you auditioning, though? Were you that kind of actress? Or were you just like friends were saying, hey, be in my show kind of thing?
I started auditioning, but I was definitely, the weird, I put on a men's T-shirt, but I forgot to brush my hair auditioner. Like, I look back on it, and I was like, I was pretty hot, man. I should have been, like, the best friend or the, maybe a chance at a lead. But I was so just, like, such a weirdo that... I think I've grown a lot over the years.
Did it not strike you as maybe if I'm less a weirdo, I'll get more jobs?
I couldn't. I wasn't. I was
no way
just,
to do that.
I was completely you know, a performance art student, very neurotic, like, oh, hey. I mean, it took me years to realize that they weren't against me. Like, casting directors, most of them are the nicest people in the world that want to facilitate the project and the actor. And I'm like, oh, God, what are they? Just, you know, I had issues.
You went in there ready to fight them.
Exactly. Issues.
You sound like you have a lot of issues.
You know, I had the backpack, the tennis shoes, ready to make a run for it.
$10,000 in cash.
Yeah.
A fake passport.
Well, no, what's your deal, man? What's your problem? You know,
you used to get in fights.
I wish. No, I was just imploding on the inside. Oh, I should have started fighting.
You should have.
That's where the need to perform came from.
Someone, and I'm not trying to step over any boundaries here or presume that I know you, but you sound like somebody who finds yourself often in grown up situations where you think, I'm a fraud. I don't belong here. I'm not a grown up. What am I doing?
Yes. Do you say that because you can relate?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime we have to be in like a real meeting or talk to somebody who's important or serious, we don't even know how to handle it. We really don't. I mean, I do think there is something for a lot of people who are in the entertainment field that there's some actual arrested development where we never quite fully mature. And you seem like you're part of that club.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't have a kid till I was later. I didn't understand that. I'm really happy.
How babies were made?
Yeah. I'm like, how did this happen? What? I was just partying and hanging out, and next thing you know.
Do you feel, I mean, after all those seasons on 24, though, you've done that long enough where you know you belong, and you probably feel comfortable doing that, even though that's got to be the hardest thing you've ever done, is being Chloe, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking when you said that, we're talking off the air a little bit about Kiefer, and he's somebody who is a serious actor and knows how to carry the show and set the tone for that. And I tend to, you know, even on that show, I'd go in like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, it's like, no, just, you know, it's like a defense mechanism of not being able to take anything seriously. And I really have learned a lot from that of how to sort of be there and be invested in it, you know.
That seems like a different type of actor who understands and can carry a show.
Yes, absolutely. And I've for sure grown a lot from that and been lucky enough to be able to do that on the job, you know.
Yeah.
It was just enough. Like my first four episodes, I was like, okay, I guess I can do this. But, you know, terrifying in a good way. And then, then getting to do more and more of that.
Are we going to see 24 Chloe? Is that going to be where then you step up and now you're running things?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the way I see it happening.
You had some pretty badass scenes in this most recent season. I mean, you were really going for it.
Right.
You were an action star a little bit.
What about when I grabbed that pipe and knocked those guys out?
Right.
Jumped off the thing.
Well, you jumped off the thing. That was the best.
That was the jumped off the thing.
That was the best jump.
The thing.
Off that thing.
What did you think of when you first when they first laid out emo Chloe to you? What did you think of the way you were going to be portraying yourself this year?
Well, we kind of came up with that together. You know, in the script, it was like she's been through a lot and is really damaged. And speaking of, you know, making a joke to defensively, I think Chloe always had a sarcastic comment, and this time around it was like, oh man, she's been through way too much. There's no levity left in her, and that
you don't smile one time in the whole season.
No, she's in a lot of pain.
She's a scowler.
And you know, anti-government and feels betrayed by the world. And so we came up with that look together, and it was really fun. You know, we just kind of settled on that goth look.
And that's a full bottle of eyeliner every day, right?
Oh my gosh. When I'm on the road doing stand-up, that's a whole other can of worms. People are like, what is Chloe doing? She should be opening up a socket. Why is she, you know, talking about her vagina or whatever? But they are mad about the eyeliner.
Why?
There's always one person per show that's like, take that eyeliner off. Like, they're like, they want her clean. Again,
that's weird. They want a fresh face, like they
I
they remembered her.
Yeah, people are very passionate about 24.
That's very weird.
Now, I hate to be the guy who has to ask the question that everybody always asks you, because I'm sure every day on the street someone says, "Hey, what's going on with 24?" But Mary Lynn, what's going on with 24?
I mean, I don't know.
You don't know.
I can't. There must be conversations happening right now.
Of all the people in this room, though, you know more than us.
You would think.
That's not the case?
That is not the case.
Huh.
I've heard nothing. No one said anything.
I mean, it sure ended on a cliffhanger.
I read an article that the numbers were really good.
Yeah, so you would think that would mean maybe.
Okay. I mean, it's got to come back.
It's got to come back. I mean, especially with the way you ended it.
They're not going to tell me until they've got everything else in place. That's just the way it rolls out.
You know Kiefer well. Is he up for it? I mean, would he be up for another season? Did he?
I don't know. I mean, I think at the beginning of this 12 was supposed to wrap up the whole franchise, right? And it was up until the very end, the ending was changing. People were dying. They were trying to wrap up Jack's whole story, and it ended up not being that.
Right. And there were there were some scenarios where he did die, right? I mean, that was at one point that was going to be the deal, right?
Yes. I didn't know if I was allowed to say that. People have said that, right? I could say
yes,
it. And then
that,
my
that is,
character.
That's out there.
He just
that's
said
out.
That.
Oh, okay.
No, that's
out
there. Just now. That's out there.
Okay. You know, there was, I got the call that I was dead, and then I was alive, and then I was dead, and then I was alive,
oh
and then
God.
I was dead. Crazy.
That's weird. Be very emotional.
Oh my gosh. Up until the moment we were shooting, I had like internal bleeding. If I were to hold up my shirt and show all that, it's like, oh, she's gonna die for sure. And then we like we didn't shoot the shot where I lifted up my shirt, so I was like, okay,
well, that's a fail.
Wow.
So you know,
so who knows,
who knows.
Okay.
I, no, well, yo, that you were saying was, would Kiefer be up for it?
Yeah.
I know he was really excited about this 12.
Okay.
And, you know, it obviously came out really well, and people are into it.
There's always
so
been talk about a movie, too. Is that, have you heard anything about that either?
I mean, my instinct is that they would put together another 12, just because they haven't figured out the format for the movie, and this 12 worked so well.
So well. It was such a great season, Marilyn. You should be really, really proud of it.
Thank
it was
you.
So fun. Really
it was a lot
fun.
Of fun.
It's unbelievable. I mean, look, as great as the acting is, and you know this certainly, I mean, the fact that the writers keep writing themselves into tiny little corners and figuring out how to get out of it and go in another direction that we can't possibly see coming, it's miracle.
And
really
I think
is.
The fact that it changed so much up until the ending is kind of cool, too. It's like
absolutely.
Tightrope of figuring it out, and I really like the finale a lot as well.
Yeah, it was great. So you're basically back home now after all those months in London, living back in LA, and you're gonna kind of spend the rest of the summer on the road.
Yep, I dip back home, you know, for a few days, and then go back out again.
You're at the Hollywood Improv Friday at 8 and 10. Which shows better, probably 8 or 10?
You know, probably 10. It's going to get crazy.
Okay.
You know how it goes. Drugs, you know, the women, the booze.
You know how she do, Kevin. Come on.
The head banging.
And don't forget the scroll in your vagina.
Oh, yeah. And
right.
that.
And that.
If you're that's going to come out early. You don't want that to wait up in there for too long.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That'd be uncomfortable.
Probably like by 8:15, you want to get that out of you anyway. I would imagine, so. All right, two shows, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Please see Marilyn Ricecup on the stage at the Hollywood Improv. Go to improv.com, buy your tickets. You'll have a great time. So great to see you again. Thanks for coming
in. So great to be here. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour. And don't forget, we're giving away a brand new car, a 2014 Dodge Challenger, tomorrow morning. I think in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow morning from somebody who got the new K-Rock sticker at a Hot Topic. First, though, this. Star Trek porn, you guys. Have you seen any?
No.
I've not seen any, no.
I haven't seen any either. I mean, we know, you know, we always talk about it on the show. There's always, you know, every Brady Bunch porn, Gilligan's Island porn, Breaking Bad porn. I mean, everybody always takes whatever's popular and turns it into adult-themed entertainment. But Star Trek porn is in the news because a company has offered a guy who is a Mr. Spock impersonator. His name is Roy Ives. There's a photo in this article. You saw it, Kevin. He really looks a lot like Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, he really does.
I mean, he has an uncanny resemblance. He is 70, and I don't know if that has anything to do with why he turned it down. But they did try to get him in some Star Trek porn, and he passed on it.
It
was going to be called The Vulgar Vulcan. That was the name of the show. This British man, not for him, he said. But we wanted to find out more about the kind of porn that they're doing for Star Trek. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I guess there's an audience for it out there. There's a lot of Star Trek fans in the world who might be interested. So we asked for Dave, who can we talk to? And we have Mr. Bjorn Flodqvist on the phone. He is the CEO of Erotica Svenska, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, we're fine. This is Mr. Flodqvist.
I am Bjorn Flodqvist, yes.
Okay, and you heard us talking about the offer that you made for this Spock impersonator. He turned you down for the Vulgar Vulcan.
Yes, it's one of our many titles here in our Swedish porn company, where we make lots of Star Trek porn because lots of Star Trek fans enjoy the pornography.
How many Star Trek porns are there?
We have over a dozen titles ourselves, just dealing with is Star Trek Bjorn.
That is such a surprise to me because it seems like you would, you know, pretty much use up all the themes, all the ideas, even all the jokes just in one movie.
No, there's many, many Star Trek porn movies.
Like what?
The Vulgar Vulcan is going to be our latest in a series of Spock-themed porn movies.
Okay.
The first one, which was the biggest hit, why we make more, was Little Girls Take Big Spocks.
Okay.
It's a big hit.
Sure.
But we have many. We have a solo film for gentlemen enjoying themselves called Captain Jerk.
Oh, come on. I don't want to see that. I'm sorry.
Also, same thing with Solo with Sulu.
Okay.
Solo with Sulu.
All right.
For the men who to watch crazy kind of porn, we have Klingon My Wang.
Right.
Bones in Her Sick Bay.
Oh, no.
Lieutenant Uhura. She's very popular with our people.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Scotty's Giving Her All She's Got.
I actually want to see that one, I think.
One of our biggest hits. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Dong.
A lot of movies you got going on there, Mr. Flodfist.
I told you we had many of them.
You do.
Set Phasers for Poon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a little sound effect.
Right.
Transporter, then Banger.
Sure.
And the one that's not for everyone, a little disturbing, Two Girls, One Tribble.
Oh, yeah, no.
Sure wish I was closer to done to be eating right now.
Closer
to
done to be eating.
I wish I was finished eating when that song ended.
I see.
I wasn't.
Are you currently on a party bus?
I'm not.
Are you doing the show from the back of a party bus?
I am not.
All right. Ralph is Showbiz Beat now, and then we catch up with our good friend Adam Carolla. That's all coming up here on KROQ. Good morning, Ralph.
I'm just curious. I'm just wondering. Maybe you can help me out. I'm doing two shows Saturday,
right,
at the Improv on Melrose. Saturday night at 8 and then again at 10.
Right.
Doing the Comic-Con theater read-through of our new comic book, Batman Meets the Green Hornet 3, and then Hollywood Babylon.
Okay.
At 10. Mary Lynn Rice Cup was in here. Mm-hmm. She's doing two shows Friday,
right,
at 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. At not one point during any point her talking about that did Nopey come along and say, no, people shouldn't go get tickets for her show.
Oh, they should get tickets for her show.
So yeah, they should absolutely go see her. Okay. She's tremendous.
And then I'm doing two shows on Saturday at the Improv on Melrose, one at 8 and one at 10, so people should... See? That's what I'm talking about. See?
We don't control Nopey.
We don't control Nopey.
Nopey keeps showing up every time I try to plug my
shows.
You
pissed Nopey off.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of back history you've got with Nopey, but he does not like you.
He doesn't. I do not care for him either, I'll have you know.
I don't know if he tried to get an autograph after the show or something one week, but he's turned on you, dude.
I miss Gumby and Pokey. It's another
can't help
porn,
you
another
there.
Porn film, by the way, that Swedish company is doing, I believe. Gumby and Pokey. These chain smokers
have got to be stopped, right?
They've got to be stopped. And I don't mean the good ones who sit outside LAX and just power down a pack before they get on a plane. Not the good chain smokers. I'm talking about the musical chain smokers.
Ah.
First, they gave us that selfie, that earwig of a song selfie that we just couldn't get out of our heads. That everyone
terrible song
listened to, and you could hear it on a lot of BS stations,
yep,
not ours. And it was horrible. Awful. Repugnant. Now they've got a new single. As they celebrate all things craptastic. Now it's a new song called Kanye about how you should be like Kanye.
You should be like Kanye.
Be the king of your own life. Wear a crown like a god. Be like Kanye.
Okay.
Here's a little taste.
One day I'll stand with the crown on my head like a god. Yeah, like a god. With every step, no, I won't second guess what I want.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is.
That sounds unnecessary.
So if you want to be like Kanye, there's your theme song.
Wow.
But people wanted to be like Mike. Didn't they want to be like Mike?
At one point.
Yeah. At least Jordan did something. besides bitch and moan about his leather jogging pants.
Kanye used to do music. You guys remember that time in his life?
No.
Remember?
He gets on stage, he does a 20-minute rant about fashion.
Right, but I'm saying before that, he used to rap.
I didn't think there was before that. In more news in show business, looks like we're finally going to get The Big Bang Theory back on the track. The two holdouts from that TV series have completed their contract negotiations. Simon Helberg and Kunal Nayar have finalized their deals, so everyone should be present for the read-through of the first episode of Season 8 this morning over at Warner Brothers while they get back to work. You may remember the big three, Jim Parsons and Johnny Galecki and Kelly Cuoco.
Right.
Each in a Favored Nations deal, each will earn, for the next three seasons, roughly $90 million each.
Ralph.
Simon and Kunal did their deal around, they'll get around $70 million apiece for their next 3 years of work.
You're sort of an actor.
Sort of.
Does that breed resentment in the rest of the people there? I mean, you show up and you're getting $30 million. Do other people not like you for it? Are there fights? Are there...
I don't think so.
Not really?
No. As long as you're getting yours. I mean, I think... Those guys probably recognize that those three characters carry the majority of the workload when it comes to storylines and stuff like that. So they understand that they are in a supporting role.
Right,
and I don't think
so
you can really bitch too much if you're making $70 million over the next 3 years to their $90 million over the next 3 years. It's not much of a difference.
It's $20 million.
I know, but look, when those of us here work on the show... hear what you and Bean get paid versus what we get paid, you know, then we're like, come on, really?
Well, we do most of the heavy lifting.
Party bus? The guy, he eats on the mic. He can barely turn his own microphone on. We have those meetings sometimes, but I don't think it's happening over at the Big Bang Theory.
All right.
Marianne Faithfull is a singer from the 60s. She claims she knows who killed Jim Morrison. Well, thanks for bringing it up now, Marianne.
Yeah, right?
Why so soon? We could have used that information a while ago. She said she was there the night that her former boyfriend, who was a drug dealer, delivered Jim Morrison's fatal dose of heroin.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
She said the guy gave Jim Morrison heroin that was way too strong for him to handle, and that's why he overdosed on it. It was all
Did
that guy's fault.
Did she share this with, I don't know, the police who were investigating it at the time?
Nope. She never mentioned it to anyone.
That was her boyfriend. She's not going to turn on him.
She said the reason she's talking about it now is because everyone connected to the death is dead now except me. Well, how very selfish of you. Speaking of the 60s, great new book out about the Beatles, Kevin, your favorite band.
Oh, I can't wait. Is it out today?
About the early days of the band performing, and they asked several people who were ran the venues at the time what they remember about the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And they said all they remember is copious amounts of teenage girl urine. The girls would get so excited while they were screaming for the Beatles that they would lose control of their bladders. And they said they always had a mess after a Beatles concert at these clubs.
That's
not a good story. It's not sexy. I don't enjoy that
story.
Not
what you think of when you think of Beatlemania.
Nope.
Nope.
I don't want to read that book.
I'm going to get it for you for Christmas.
Nope.
And sad news for those of us here in Los Angeles. The legendary House of Blues on the Sunset Strip. Say goodbye.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
They are tearing down the legendary concert locale, to make way for a major hotel complex. Construction set to begin in 2015. 149 hotel rooms, 40 condos, 5 rental units, and an entertainment venue where the House of Blues used to be.
Was it not doing well?
It was still in business doing fairly well, but I guess
But imagine that real estate has got to be
just worth so much.
Property is just
too valuable for them to pass up the deal of selling the property out from under it, so they will tear it down. But a lot of good times I had at the House of Blues. That was a cool
absolutely
place to
great
go.
Venue.
Yeah.
Great venue.
Opened in 1994 and had a great kitchen. You always got great food and drink there as well as top name talent, and it's all gone.
Hmm. I was surprised when I saw that report yesterday that it had only been there since 1994. I can't remember before the House of Blues was there.
Listen,
you know,
for Los Angeles, that is
20 years a good run.
That is an institution. That is historic. If you can last 20 years in one location.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Director M. Night Shyamalan. You two stop writing love notes to each other over there. Chip and Kevin are like, they're giggling and writing back and forth little notes to each other.
Check yes if you like me.
Yeah. Chip is trying to
get me. Do you want to go to the prom?
She's trying to write a note for me, and I can't understand a single word that she wrote. She writes like a serial killer.
Well, she has to hold the pencil with both hands like this and just moving.
I was saying I played at the House of Blues there, so it was doomed.
Oh, I see. So you wrote in the House of Blues. That makes sense.
Wow.
Any place Chip goes and plays her music, destruction is sure to follow. M. Night Shyamalan is 44 years old today. Vera Farmiga is 41 from Bates Motel.
Boy, she's a beautiful woman.
She is, and so talented.
Also, so talented.
Remember Up in the Air with George Clooney, that movie?
Yes.
She did?
Oh, yeah.
She was terrific in that.
Did you stick with season two of the Bates Motel?
I got it all on the old DVR. I just have not started to crack it.
Hard to believe how creepy it gets, Ralph. You're in for a treat.
Melissa George is 38. Marissa Miller is 36. And Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, is 40.
Too early? Too early. I feel like I hit that too early.
Is 42 years old today.
Now?
Go now.
I believe I've never heard that song.
It's time for us to start playing some of the Spice Girl hits, I think, to celebrate her birthday.
I believe
maybe,
that.
Maybe we'll go for the deep cuts next time.
You know who's in there? Beer Mug. That's our issue.
Come on now.
So Mug sent that in?
Mug sent that in as a representative clip of the Spice Girls.
He says it's a huge hit.
For whom?
That's what he said. You tell me. It's Mugs.
What are we going to do about him?
Everywhere
what are we
going
to do about the Mugs problem? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys mocked me, by the way, a few days ago when I pointed out that once the calendar turns to August, it's really just a snowball just gaining momentum toward Christmas. I mean, we're practically in the holidays now, right?
No.
Not even close.
Okay, we're still in summer.
We are in the holidays. What if I were to tell you that Labor Day weekend is 3 weeks from Friday?
Then I would tell you that summer ends then.
We're getting
and
pretty close. I'm just saying.
With fall.
I'm just saying it's
which
all
which is followed
up.
By autumn. Which
I don't
is
know
followed
if you've
by what?
Made your plans for Labor Day weekend yet, but may I suggest Las Vegas, Nevada might be the place to you. There's always a lot of stuff going on in Las Vegas for that weekend. And this year, it's especially great because Adam Carolla is going to be taking it over on Friday night, August 29th. He's going to be at the Treasure Island Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas with a Mangria tasting and bottle signing at 7, and then the Adam Carolla Show live on stage at 9 o'clock. You can get those tickets and all the information at adamcarolla.com. Why not? Say goodbye to summer in Las Vegas with the Ace Man. That's what I'm saying. Adam joins us each week at this time for a little feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Or we could just say goodbye to comedy and listen to Bean talk about how fast the seasons change.
I'm pumping up your appearance, Adam. Come on.
Well, I tell you, 1 minute it's April, and then, you know, scant 30 days later, it's May.
Adam, he's been doing this since February. He does it all year.
Oh, man, 1 minute it's January, yep. then it, whew, it's February. Yes, Bean, and then we're dead.
I'm saying that it speeds up. The older you get, the shorter the years are. That's all I'm saying, Adam.
Oh, man, I'm looking at my twins. They're 8 years old. This time last year, they were 7.
That is crazy.
Who knows? All
right.
It'll be a year from now. Maybe 9. I don't know.
Move on.
All right. Starting at number 3, working my way down to number 1. First off, something needs to change. It needs to change in a big way, and it needs to change now, nay, tomorrow. Why is it that car doors open, and when your car door opens, it has two settings? You know, it doesn't just flap open in the wind like a loose hinge or a door on your house. It opens to one place, it stops, and then it opens to the next place, it stops.
Right.
The first place it opens and stops is just open enough to get a little air into the car. Maybe DJ Qualls can crawl out of his Denali. But there's not enough room for you to get your knee through the door. So I don't know why it's stopping at that point. The next place it stops is flies open, puts a dent in the side of the car parked next to you because you shimmied your car into the compact space, and now it's open enough for the guy from the blind side. But either way, it's either too open or not open enough. Why not pick a middle place car manufacturers where the doors open comfortably for me to get out, but not to ding the car next to me?
That's a reasonable question, Adam.
Well, what's the first opening for? Hey, I'm going to let my snake and ferret out of the car, and then I like to get out of the car?
I can't imagine. I mean, they must have made a decision to do it that way for some reason. It's just it's difficult for us to look at.
It opens 8 inches, and the other one just bangs into the car next to you because all the parking spots are getting smaller and all the SUVs are getting bigger. Just pick one in the middle, and let's get on with our lives. Number two, you know, I like to talk about the signs of the apocalypse as it pertains to Los Angeles. And I always bring up the barbed wire on the freeway signs or the end senior abuse or stop human trafficking bumper stickers I see on the municipal vehicles. I was doing a catch a contractor in beautiful, breathtaking Wilmington, California last week. And when I got off the freeway and looked up at the big block retaining wall above the overpass, it said, adopt a wall. And I now realize we have farmed out vertical stuff because it's being destroyed by every animal in this city. Literally, this chunk of wall was left just concrete color. It's not like there's a mural on it.
Right.
It's just not some gangbanger's name on it. You know, Toyota of Gardena actually has to pay to keep this stretch of wall nice because we live in a place where if it doesn't have barbed wire around it or it's not adopted by a car dealership, it gets destroyed by the citizens who live in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the hell's going on? Why does Bette Midler need to adopt a stretch of highway? Why does Toyota need to adopt a stretch of wall? Don't we pay taxes for this? And then what does it say that half the citizens want to destroy the place they live? Like, I understand going into the school, the rivalry up the street and trashing the place and then going back to your school. Why are we trashing our own place?
I don't have the answer.
Don't know. And did you have an answer for the car door?
No. We're not helping you much today, Adam.
We're 0-2. All right. Well, this one's going to...
Hey, you're president you. We come to you for answers.
You're right. I'll get to bomb this. And this one, I'm in love with this idea. And I'm in love with most of my ideas, but this one especially. I get in this thing all the time. I got the twins running around the house. I got the big jumbo size. Everything's in a jumbo size now, right?
You go
to Costco, you get the huge vat of peanut butter, the huge vat of mayonnaise, and all that stuff. And then you get into that argument with your wife because it's taking up room in the fridge, and then she does, there's enough in there for one more sandwich. And you think, right. If you scrape the knife around there, why are you putting the empty container inside the fridge? You're taking up a bunch of space. It's the size of a 5-gallon bucket. And she's like, you can scrape it. And if you scrape it, you get one more peanut butter sandwich out of it. So I didn't want to throw it away. All right, I understand. Why? Here's my invention. Why doesn't every large container of anything, whether it's, Dijonais or whether it's mustard or whatever it is, they should all have a little escape pod on the side of them, like they do on a docking station and a space station. Just a little escape, just 2 ounces on the side. And when you're done with the big one, you just scrape it off into this little bladder on the side, twist it, snap it off, put a cap on it, and put it back in the fridge. And now you have just enough for one more mayonnaise and peanut butter or one more whatever sandwich.
So every container comes with its own container.
Yes, Bean.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a container that's just enough to hold the last 2 servings that's technically in the container that you argue with your wife over because you told her she should have thrown away the container because it was taking up beer space.
It does seem like a lot of work for a problem that only comes along every once in a great while, though.
Like in autumn or the fall.
Right.
Or the winter months, sure. And then you blink your eyes, and the container's empty, and now Mardi Gras upon us.
That is an excellent point. And Adam Carolla is going to be live on stage with the Adam Carolla Show and the Mangria Tasting and Bottle Signing. It's happening Labor Day weekend, which comes a little bit early this year because time is speeding up. It's Friday night, August the 29th in Las Vegas at the Treasure Island Hotel and Casino. Please go to adamcarolla.com for all the details. Podcast, buy the book, watch the movie, see the TV show. It's all there. Thanks, Ace Man.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Vance Joy and Riptide at 9:43.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Well, for all the crap we give Bieber.
Don't.
Turns out he may be a great guy.
That's not, that can't
I don't,
be possible.
I can't, no.
He's nope. He's a lifesaver.
That's bullshit.
He has saved a life. Saved a Russian man's life.
That's bullshit.
42-year-old Igor Vorbitsnin.
No!
Would beg to differ. He thinks Bieber's great. He was attacked by a brown bear in the Yakutia Republic. As the bear was mauling him, someone happened to call his phone, setting off his ringtone, which was Justin Bieber's song, Baby, Baby, Baby.
Come on.
Igor says the song frightened the bear so badly, it ran off. So Bieber saved a life in Russia by sucking.
Oh my goodness, that was crazy.
By being horrible, he saved a life.
How old was the Russian man?
42-year-old, Igor.
And he had Baby by Justin Bieber
why
as his
ringtone. Why did he have Baby
Baby? Asked why he had Bieber ringtone in the first place.
Thank
he
you.
Said, my granddaughter loaded it onto my phone as a joke.
That's funny.
Okay. That's almost a legitimate answer.
Rah, baby.
The bear said, hell no.
Just started loping back into the woods. He sucks so much, bears hate him. Right, we have to help 28-year-old Eric Sanchez.
Who is this?
Eric. He's launched a Kickstarter campaign. He's trying to raise some money for a very important cause. He's trying to raise $30,000 so that he can hire Kenny Loggins to play a concert in his living room.
And why should we?
I have many questions about that. Why would he want that?
Why of all people, Kenny Loggins?
How is Kenny Loggins still getting that amount of money to go anywhere?
Good point. Eric says he's already talked to Kenny Loggins, and Kenny's in.
Oh, wow.
Kenny's in.
Really?
As long as he can raise the money in the next 16 days.
So what does he have now?
I don't know how much he has so far. But if you go to Kickstarter and type in Kenny Loggins, I bet you can find out.
We got to talk to Mr. Sanchez. Got to have him on.
On the page, he pleads, don't do it for me. Don't do it for Kenny. Do it for America.
Yes.
Is he just being funny?
I don't know.
I think
he wants Kenny Loggins to do a concert in his living room. And for 30 grand, Kenny's willing to do it.
Now, I'm going to say, and you guys will discount this, but
oh, here we go.
Kenny Loggins can make a lot more than 30 grand. He's clearly doing this just to be a good guy, and it sounds like he is in
on
the joke.
Wait, really?
First of all, how can Kenny Loggins make a lot more than 30
right,
grand?
Right, that's not,
absolutely.
Well, how?
Because, I mean, look, you see let's go back, Ralph, a couple of months to that list that we came up with that has how much it costs to hire people for parties. I guarantee Kenny Loggins costs more than that.
I don't remember talking about Kenny Loggins
on
that
list. He was even
on
the list. He's Kenny. We're talking about Kenny Loggins, right?
Yeah, he would make more than that. I think. I think it's awesome if he does this. I think that's a super cool thing, and I hope it happens.
I'm just saying. I think people are taking the crowdsourcing phenomenon a little too far. When you see what people are raising money for now, potato salad and Kenny Loggins concerts, and it's not a Make-A-Wish Foundation, people. It's not just just do whatever you want and we'll pay for it. Stop that.
Oh, you want a concert in your house? Okay, I'll donate.
Okay, I'll give you some. No, I won't. Go get a job. Earn the money and then go get a concert for your house. It's one thing if you need medical help or you need help paying the bills or your kids need shoes or something. I can see the asking for help there, but I'm not going to help you get Kenny Loggins to play while you sit on your couch.
How do you pick him? How is it Kenny Loggins?
He's a huge fan of Footloose.
That's crazy.
Every time I hear a Footloose song, makes my foot...
Does something happen?
Yeah. Is your foot loose, by the way?
Yes, another one. Trying to keep it under control for the longest time.
Yes. Oh, wow. I don't even know what that was.
What?
That was a brand new Flash.
That was a different Footloose.
How many Footloose jokes did you make as a DJ?
I don't know.
I don't remember that one at all.
I was expecting let's hear that one again.
Say look. Yeah. Is your foot loose, by the way?
Yes, and I've been trying to keep it under control for the longest time.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Who's that guy?
That is your friend Lee Chambers, who was the disc jockey who came on after me that night, apparently.
Oh, my God.
You teamed up on that joke? You wanted another run at it?
we had each other after.
It's crazy.
I've been trying to keep it under control. Is your foot loose? Ah, you better go catch it. Is your fridge running? Hey, you're Prince Albert again.
There's a little crossover chatter, I think, is what it was between one show and the next.
Corniest man alive. That's not chatter. That's a terrible joke.
Hey, listen, I love making fun of me and what a bad broadcaster I am, but I am on the Celebrity Talent International site for booking Kenny Loggins to appear at your event.
F you.
Okay.
Why F you?
No, because you're going to tell us it's $1 million.
Does it matter what I'm telling you? Is the important thing that I'm trying to get information so that we can have this discussion? Look, I'm not coming pre-armed with facts. I'm looking it up.
Right, but I'm still with Kevin. F you.
Please note, final fee will depend on several factors. Location of the event, where Kenny is traveling from, if he is not bringing equipment, if he's busy, what
Hookers,
type of show, solo,
blow,
band.
Sure.
Following prices are only the average fee. Minimum fee for U.S. dates for Kenny Loggins, and it's a wide range, but it's from $75,000 to $150,000 for U.S. dates. Minimum fee for international dates, $150,000 to $500,000. So clearly there's a lot in between.
But he will do your house for $30,000.
But if it's just him and a guitar, I don't know. I don't know how much it would cost to get if you weren't part of this Kickstarter campaign.
Look, I know he made well over $200 at the corner of Highland and Hollywood when I saw him playing his guitar last. So I guess
apparently people like to ask for Kenny Loggins to perform at weddings, according to this. Apparently he's popular with that request.
Plays that freaking Winnie the Pooh song or whatever the hell it was. Freaking Kenny Loggins. Kind of makes my... It hurts me down to my ankle. Kind of makes my foot loose.
Wow, I'm surprised that we finally found a second one.
That's sweet. Bonus foot loose
the whole time. The sequel.
Who knew? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Marissa Miller, model, actress, all-around good gal. 36 years old today.
Football fan, too. Hardcore.
Oh, that's right. When we talked to her, remember, she was all about football.
49ers, by the way, team,
and Giants in baseball. So,
right.
Just saying that she'd take a bell away.
Melissa George is 38. She was on Alias. Remember when she was on Alias?
Yeah. Sure.
Good on that show. Vera Farmiga from Bates Motel. Hottest MILF on television, by the way. Only problem is her son also wants to bang her.
Yeah.
A little creepy. 41 years old, and M. Night Shyamalan is 44 years old. But singer Jerry Halliwell, the Spice Girls, is 42 years old today. Hope we go deep, deep, deep on one of their albums and find a track that no one's ever heard of. Now we know this one.
Isn't that the one where they were like out in the middle of the desert wearing space suits?
That's the one. That's that video.
What the F?
See, Kevin, you know Little Spice Girls?
That was just the weirdest video.
I just wanted to be in the desert. I just wanted to be a grain of sand lodged in their tights.
All right. Good.
God, I love the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Garfunkel and Oates on the show tomorrow. Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci. Did I say that right?
Micucci.
Yeah. We also have a brand new Internet Roundup, and we're going to give away a car.
We are.
During the Internet Roundup?
That's going to happen.
We never do that.
It's at a different time.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the K-Rock sticker, you pick one up. Everybody's qualified to get a car. Tomorrow morning, we will pull up in front of somebody's house.
I thought we were just saying that to try to get people to get the stickers.
No,
we should.
I didn't know we were actually giving one away.
The lawyers insisted we actually follow through on that promise.
That was a burn.
It's used, though, right? We're not giving them a
new. No, it's a brand new 2014 Dodge Challenger.
We got to do some research. Hopefully that won't happen, but it'll be tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.